Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your
Rogaine. Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine.
Yeah. And Andy. And Andy?
Gets apart so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
Another edition of PFW in Progress without Fred Kirsch, and that can only mean one thing, Andy Hart. Bad news. Bad news for PFW in
Bad
Progress.
Bad that Andy's not at his microphone on time.
The A-team!
Yeah, but I'm used to Andy not being ready to go.
I'm trying to change the TV channel so we don't have seven TVs on
the
NFL Network.
Yeah, we came in here and all five TVs were on the same channel.
Brian
NFL
Baldinger.
We needed to change that up a little bit. But it's just going to be Andy Hart and Paul Perillo with you for a while. Eric, where's Eric?
He'll be by later.
Oh, he gets me every time. I have to admit, it does get me every time, Andy. But Fred Kirsch in L.A. for a quick one-day trip to the left coast. That's tough.
Yeah.
He's got to travel out to Los Angeles for some NFL web meetings, a webinar, if you will. And he comes back.
I don't think it's a webinar. I think that would mean he could have stayed here and done it on the web.
On the, probably.
That's
right.
A good point.
You're right.
I think it's just some kind of like party he's going to.
He comes back on the red eye tonight, and then we go to Chicago on Saturday. Which, by the way, the weather that we talked about a lot yesterday was certainly picking up steam in the locker room because that's pretty much the only thing that everybody's talking about.
And the quote of the day from Logan Mankins, yeah, we don't wear sleeves.
We don't wear sleeves.
Good call.
So if you have to go with a left guard who only has one arm in the playoffs, you'll know why.
Seriously. I mean, I know there's bravado and, oh, tough guy this and tough guy that, and that's fine and dandy, 30, 20 maybe. But when you get down and people are talking minus 40 wind chills,
right?
You think Bill Belichick's going to be happy that you were a tough guy when you're being wheeled off and they literally are treating like frostbite?
It will be interesting to see just how much of a an effect the weather has on the game.
Oh, you
know,
it will.
Does it affect specifically the way the game is going to be played? And that'll be interesting.
Well,
to
that's
watch.
The wind more than the cold.
But that's what I'm saying.
Reports we had. What weatherman John Giorsi in there was at like 25 mile an hour winds.
That is still passable.
25 to 30, but the temperature is going to be 2 degrees.
Degrees minus 40 wind chill. But
you
the
can
wind
throw
is,
in 20s.
Than that. If the wind is such that you can still throw the ball, it doesn't matter how cold. We saw that the playoff game, the divisional playoff back in 2003 between the Patriots and Titans right here. Both teams, both Tom Brady and Steve McNair, you know, it wasn't a high-scoring shootout, but they were able to throw the football normally.
My guess is the balls will be.
Oh, it'd be ball security.
Oh, the ball's
will be an
gonna
issue.
Be cold and slick.
But yeah. No, won't the NFL like? Don't they have somewhere where they can storm like down on the sideline?
They can try to do whatever they want, but they're gonna be cold and
maybe
slick.
Maybe we can make that your job. We'll get you to travel this week, Kevin, and you can do that.
If it gets me down there, why not?
You're a ball one.
Balls feel good. That ball there has silicone on it.
All right. Good to know. We may have broken a record. Before we even started the show, we received several emails that the audio was low.
Well, that's
we hadn't even started
to
fix it.
No, that's because we kill the replay when we do podcasts now because of that. You know how the listener was complaining about the bleed through of the big show?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah,
going on off this replay system, and we have, like, you know, Patriots Monday interviews, old PFWs from the previous week. So I killed it to do an ESPN Boston podcast. So there was nothing. There was nothing on the air prior to us.
So
we're never going to be able to fix that?
The bleed through? The only way to fix it is to just stop streaming whatever you're streaming while you're doing the podcast.
And we can't do that.
So if you click on, in other words, if you click on like listen live on patriots.com and it's a replay and we're trying to do a podcast, I'm probably just going to pot the replay down on the website. Because Ferreira.
That's radio talk, Andy. Pot down.
Well, Ferreira and Fred kind of signed off on to do that because the podcast only lasts, 15 minutes maybe maximum?
Depends how much Paul has to say that day.
That's true. But, I mean, so hopefully we can.
15 minutes, that's just the open.
But hopefully we can kind of, you know, get rid of the replay noise in the background, even if it means that we have dead air streaming out to patriots.com for 15 minutes.
Well, I don't understand why the replay goes into the.
Couldn't tell you.
Podcast.
I guess it just bleeds through very faintly. And
bleeds through
it,
what? Like I don't understand how that happens. You have a microphone in here. They're
well,
over
there,
here.
Yeah, there are like
here.
Six different lines that are all in this big console here. I guess, and I don't know what. I couldn't tell you. I'm not an engineer, but
it just sounds.
That's definitely what it is.
Flawed and.
Well, let's be honest. Our studio is very nice, but it's not state of the art by any stretch.
It is not state of the art, but we make it sound as if it were.
Yeah. We do the best we can with what
because
we do.
Because the A-team, yes, the A-team is in the house, and we always we have a standard to uphold. The locker room today was not exactly bustling with activity, Andy. However, there were some people that were around and talked. Jimmy, your boy, Jimmy Sanders, talked about creating turnovers and the emphasis that all defenses put on that. Obviously, we practice it, and, you know, stripping the ball, catching the ball. One point that was brought up
they haven't really stripped a lot of balls, though.
No, but they've intercepted a lot of passes, and I think taken advantage of most of the opportunities they've had to intercept passes. And that may be where they've separated themselves a little bit from their predecessors. Every game you're going to get opportunities to intercept a pass. I think what the Patriots have done very well is maximize the opportunities this year, catching the ball.
Sure.
And Sanders talked about that a little bit and how much they work on it. Jared Page talked about it a little bit as well. Had a chance to joke a little bit with Steven Gostkowski, who was in the locker room today on a oversized crutch.
The all-pro one-legged kicker.
Said he feels pretty good, a little bit better than he thought he would after the surgery. Joked with us to stay warm and had this sort of smirk on his face. He was laughing with me and said, make sure you guys stay warm. But I read into it almost as if to say, boy, am I glad I don't have to kick in that crap. Because it's going to be a tough day for the kickers no matter what.
Sure. Robbie Gould will have the advantage, knowing the environment a little bit.
I mentioned yesterday some of the kicks that we've seen over the years in Chicago that go like 10 yards forward and then 25 yards to the left or right.
Which makes it all that more remarkable, his number. What is it, 40-something straight, under 40 yards he's hit?
Yeah, something like that.
Because in the weather of Chicago, a 38-yard field goal is by no means a gimme. Certainly for any kicker. I mean, you have the advantage if you're at home, but those are not gimmies.
So we will, as we always do on Thursdays, when Eric joins us for the second half.
He'll be by later.
Right. gets me every time, Andy. Later in the show, we will do our picks around the NFL. We will talk a little bit about some of the issues in the NFL. Matt Cassel, old friend, underwent an appendectomy. He will be questionable for the game. Might be Brody Croyle time in San Diego for the Chiefs.
Did you notice the way they wrote that up, saying, you know, not sure if it was an emergency appendectomy or not? I mean, on some level it was. If he could have put it off, he would have.
Right.
There was might not have been, we got to do it now, this minute, but if he chose to schedule it, he didn't choose game week.
Right.
And
it's pretty funny.
Wednesday of game week. If he really, even if he had to do it, he would have scheduled, I would have think, on Monday, right? Give himself the longest period of time to recover. So it was an emergency appendectomy.
Hey, Robert in Alaska has a suggestion.
Have you seen Justin? Because we haven't heard from him in forever.
Says, Andy and Paul, the all-purpose show? No.
What does that mean?
A and P?
Oh. Yeah, like AD, but AP.
Didn't that used to be an old grocery store?
That's correct.
What did that mean?
I don't remember. That's a Fred.
They were around fairly recently, because I can remember.
That's a Fredism. Fred would know that.
Agriculture and produce?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. You're old, and you probably shopped in them.
They're not that
old, though.
I have
been in an A&P. Yeah.
I have, too.
There was one
I've
in Revere.
An A&P. The all-purpose show. I like it, though. We're kind of like the Danny Woodhead of shows. We could cover it all.
We could talk baseball, too.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of Red Sox activity. A big week to be a Red Sox fan, and I am feeling myself back on board.
Me too.
With the moves this
week. I will
be
watching that lineup. That lineup will be entertaining and interesting.
Adrian Gonzalez traded for early in the week. Carl Crawford signed to a lucrative long-term deal. 7 years, $142 million.
Yeah. By the way, when we signed Gonzalez and I looked at you and was like, now we just got to get Crawford, and you were like, no way.
I didn't think there was any chance. Right. Absolutely.
You're talking $300 million.
But Kevin, you know, not because I didn't want Crawford. No, I just didn't think there was any chance they would give $142 million.
I just had a weird feeling.
The real reason was when Jason Worth signed his deal with Washington for what I thought
was
far more money than
he was worth.
Yeah.
Then I thought there was no way that Crawford would sign, but now the reports are coming out. The Red Sox offered $37 million than the Anaheim Angels did. So, I mean, that's a pretty significant overpay, but I don't care.
But he also had
dinner
with the Yankees on Tuesday.
Right, no salary cap in baseball. I don't care.
I got the feeling he wanted to come to the Red Sox.
And then there's that weird talk of the Red Sox threw out kind of like a low ball offer to Cliff Lee to piss the Yankees off and distract them from Crawford. Then they swooped in and all of a sudden got him in the middle of the night.
Could be.
I like it.
Could be.
Screw baseball.
Yeah, we have obviously a huge game coming up on Sunday in Chicago. Webradio at Patriots.com is the way you reach us. The best way to reach us, I should say. Webradio at Patriots.com.
Strippers informs us that A&P is still in business.
All right. And the Ace Ticket Hotline. I have to read the Ace Ticket Hotline part because I'm not used to that, Andy. 508-543-7482. We do have phone lines open, as Fred is wont to say. Andy, that's want with an O.
Eric's not here.
That's true, but he'll be by later.
He will indeed.
Should we get into some emails, or do you have any other observations from the
I got a couple things that I think we need to touch on.
Well, why don't we empty out the drawer of the
first and foremost, Dan Copen was not on the injury report yesterday, so by all accounts practiced after he was not out there during the media portion. And,
as Eric
should not be an issue.
Predicted.
Is that what he was doing when he had a bug in his eye?
Right. Glad you brought that up because we did joke with him a little bit. He walked through, and I looked at him and said, hey, did you enjoy giving everybody a little bit of a stir yesterday? And he had that smirk, and I think he knows exactly what happened. You know, for a couple hours there, people were wondering why he wasn't on the practice field and why the Patriots were working out a veteran center.
But much ado about nothing, apparently.
Exactly. He was out there, and he fully participated, was not even listed as having been limited. In any way.
Shortest injury report of the year, I think, when you include both teams. Like seven names total. Unlike last week where the Jets listed their entire roster.
Abe is wondering, Atlantic and Pacific for A&P? I don't know.
Atlantic and Pacific. Oh, the traffic
it is
horrific.
Stripper says Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, Inc.
It's a tea company?
All right. As always, Christopher, we have four emails telling us the answer. That's it's better than Google.
It is.
It's better than Google.
My guess is they're just using Google, but still.
Certainly better than Eric.
Oh, Eric's useless. Teats on a bowl.
I have no formal artistic training.
And another topic I want to just touch on. Well, there's a few. I watched Around the NFL. Is that what it's called on Showtime?
I think it's Inside the NFL.
Inside the NFL, not Around It. You don't want to go around it. You want to go right into it, the heart of it. And they were on board with me. Warren Sapp, at the very least, and Chris Collinsworth, both picking the Bears to beat the Patriots. Kind of a tough spot game, and Bears at home, and the matchups, which I thought was interesting, because I believe you said in our paper I was the only one who...
I think you're the only one who took Chicago.
Not even Flip was with me?
I don't really count
that. Chance. So I just thought that was interesting as we start to see the experts' predictions for the week.
Right.
And I got something else that I want to talk about.
The awards? We talked about that yesterday.
Oh, Logan Mankins. I found, and I know Pro Football Talk wrote about this, but I brought it up to you yesterday. Lovie Smith and his praise of Logan Mankins. I thought borderline crossed the line between praise and tampering, saying that all 31 teams would like to have that guy and would add that guy. He's one of the best linemen in the NFL. He knows him. They share the same agent and has gotten to know him a little bit over the years. And he said, you know, his loyalty, you knew all along there was only one place he was playing this year, New England. But I thought when he said all 31 teams would like to have him, you know, for a team that has offensive line problems, I thought that was a little curious.
I thought especially when he's talking about the same agent.
Yeah.
Like, why would you know, you know, that? Why would you offer that up to me? I thought that was a little strange, almost as if maybe there have been some conversations between Lovie Smith and the agent, you know, and that would certainly, you know, maybe they know what it would take to sign Mankins if they wanted to propose a trade. You know, like, you know, 2 months ago before the trading deadline had passed. And I wasn't surprised that Florio picked up on it because you immediately brought that to my attention yesterday
afternoon.
The sniff
meter. That was the sniff one where those comments didn't smell quite right. And I know I said this to you. Bill goes to the extreme and won't say anything about anybody if there's any way it could possibly be, you know, misconstrued.
Right.
And this was kind of in the other direction. I thought it really crossed over. Bill praised Julius Peppers, as he always does yesterday, but just in terms of athlete, player, what he can mean for
defense. There's a difference between talking about a player's ability and talking about a player's availability.
He basically gave Julius Peppers the Ed Reed. He can play anything, he can do anything, except maybe corner. Other than that, he could play any position on the field, offense, defense, blah, blah, blah.
He is an amazing athlete, Julius Peppers.
It's where everybody starts. It's where Mankins started when talking about him. You just start with how great
Michael
an
Vick
athlete he is. Yeah,
in that
he's probably the best athlete in the NFL. I mean, if you got the chance to see him do things in the open field and
better
in space.
Better athlete
than Bo? Heck no. I said in the NFL, not to ever grace the planet.
I took a shot.
There's a difference. There's different categories. Best ever, planet, Bo. Thank you. Proceed.
Yeah. You can't play the two sports that he played at the professional level, though, at the same time.
Who?
Peppers. Played basketball and football. You can't do both at the same
time. But he also wasn't as good in basketball as Bo was in either, whatever you want to call his off sport, which baseball, I guess. Right?
No. I don't know how good he could have been in basketball. I don't think he could have been an NBA player.
Could not have been Bo.
But, you know, we'll never know.
You could play both sports. I mean, you could do what Bo did if the team let you, right? Join this basketball season late.
Yeah, I think it's a little harder to miss that much of a season. That's my only
sure point. But if he were good enough, a team would let him, right? Get him for the final, you know, run of the regular season and then the postseason.
Yeah, no, I suppose it's possible, but
you make exceptions for special people.
I think it would be more difficult, but that was not, you know, like Tony Gonzalez was an excellent college basketball player as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, you know, I don't think that would have worked out. Let's see. We do have a question here.
Okay. I'll have an answer.
A question from Fred in Halifax. Looking back, do you think that Bill was never comfortable having Randy Moss on his team?
No.
And the offensive style that came with it?
No.
I'm not talking about Randy Moss the person, but Randy Moss the player. It seems that the Pats have gone back to what they have always done on offense. This offense always had two stars on it, Tom Brady and the open guy. I am wondering if Bill didn't feel so pressured to keep offensive pace with the Colts that he tried to change the offensive philosophy of the team, realized it was not who he wanted to be, and is now going back to his style of football. Please don't take this email as not being thankful for everything that Randy Moss did for this team. I think he was a good fit. I think he was good for the team, and until the time he left, it was just a matter of the offensive style the team wanted. What do you think of that?
No, I think Bill was very comfortable with Randy Moss here. Now, the last part of that email, I do think there might be some validity to, that Randy Moss was an answer to the evolution of the league, its rules, the advantages that an offense has, the Colts style, whatever you want to call it. And I think he was saying, okay, let's give it a shot playing that way. We can acquire these guys. It's all coming together. We have a need at the position. And then I do think at some point he realized maybe that's not what's best suited for us. And I think that was this year. How much was football and how much was what Randy Moss was becoming off the field and down the road and the contract and all that, I don't know. If without that aspect, would he ever have decided, you know what, I'd rather be an offense that's quicker, smaller, underneath type stuff. I don't know when that would have come to a head, whether they just would have walked away from Moss at the end of the season and gone back to a little bit different mold of receiver and offense. But I think early on he was very comfortable with Randy Moss here.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think that we confuse it. listen, it's better right now. It's worked out better. But I think that you can take it too far by saying what they actually wanted, if you know what I mean. Don't tell me they didn't want to be a team that approached 600 points in 2007. It didn't work, okay? At the end of the day, right now for this team, it was better to do what they did. Mm-hmm. It's been proven. But that's not the way it had to be.
Though? I mean, because we say ultimately 07 didn't work. Why?
Oh, no, no.
Because they lost the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, 07 worked for me.
But do you say this? Everyone's saying right now it's working, but if they lose in the Super Bowl and get shut down offensively, do you say ultimately the post-Moss offense didn't work? Right? If you hold it to the same standard finish with a ring.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I don't.
Because the Michael Felgers worked. Of the world said ultimately 07 didn't work. You didn't score enough points. You didn't win the Super Bowl. You lose.
Right.
So do you hold this to the same standard? If they don't win the Super Bowl this year, then ultimately the Deion Branch offense didn't work.
If you are one of those people who said that the 2007 offense didn't work, read Michael Felger.
Read
give me a
idiot.
Break.
Yeah, okay. Then, yes, you would have to hold it to the same standard this year.
I don't think there's any question about it.
Because I can't look at an 18-1 season and having enough points to win the 19th game with 30 seconds left as being a failure on the part of the offensive system. And it wasn't because of the way they were set up offensively that they didn't win the Super Bowl. So I will not say that this year if they fall short as well.
But would you say it the year earlier in Indy? Because, again, they were in position to go to a Super Bowl. They were a step further back, but they were in an AFC title game where they had a lead late. They scored a lot of points. Was that an offensive failing?
I think in crunch time, yeah. But they scored enough points to win again. I mean, they didn't score them all on offense that day.
No, I know. But
they did score enough
points. The situation was
the
same. You were in position to win the game very late, and you lost.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen.
I'm just saying.
They had a 38-34 lead with
failings,
the ball, remember?
Right.
And they couldn't get a first down.
That's why I'm comparing all these different failings. And if you're going to be consistent from year to year.
But to me, there's a difference between your offense failed in a key spot and you lost the game to your offensive system is flawed. I think in 2006 you can make an argument their offensive system was a bit flawed. They tried to get too much out of not enough talent.
Sure.
And they rectified that, in my opinion, the following year. I don't think they lost in 2007 because their system was flawed, like Michael Felger will have you believe.
Right.
And I don't think they're going to lose in 2010 if they, in fact, don't win the Super Bowl in Dallas this year because their offensive system is flawed. I think their offensive system is pretty good.
In all likelihood, they lose this year because their defense isn't good.
Well, that's my point. Let's see. Cormack was here Monday night. Our buddy Cormack,
really?
And he was very excited.
Is he one of the 125 that were arrested for drunken,
fantastic
rowdy behavior?
Victory on Monday night,
and
excited.
The tank was pretty full.
The tank was full?
It was pretty full.
I didn't
know
that.
Do they have, like, the caged-in area out there? There was a woman screaming like she was giving birth.
Where were you?
And they bring the paddy wagons in, pick
them
up.
She literally sounded like she was giving birth for about 45 seconds.
Where were you to hear all this?
What do you mean? Walking
well, if
you, in the
if, yeah, if you come
it's
down
right
from
here, the
yeah,
cage area.
If you come down from the press box and you walk out, when you
I
make that left at the end of the tunnel,
screaming, screaming like she was literally sounded like a woman giving birth.
So if you're walking through down the tunnel from the media elevator, like straight across the security command,
right.
It's like wedged in there. For Country Fest, it was still as crazy as I've ever seen it. That was a different level.
Yeah,
that's just D&D's, right?
Can I ask a quick question?
What?
Urban Meyer stepped down.
Correct.
But it says on SportsCenter, Meyer and Paterno news conference.
Oh, I don't know. Did something happen with...
Oh, are they playing in a bowl?
Oh, yeah, they might be.
Okay. Because I was thinking, wouldn't the stunner of all stunners be if they announced Joe Paterno was replacing Urban Meyer at Florida?
But why would they be having a news conference now?
I don't know.
Because that would have to be like a New Year's bowl.
That was my original question. Why are those two... unless Paterno's retiring?
Yeah,
but I thought he said a while ago that he was coming back.
Outback Bowl news conference.
He said 2 weeks ago that that he would come back next year.
Yeah, it's an Outback Bowl news conference, according to the scroll.
Yeah.
That's weird. When's the Outback Bowl?
They probably have like a media day. Yeah.
Strange.
My sister gets screwed. They're going to like Well, they're playing Bama, which is legit.
More than once, I'm sure. What?
The Capital One Bowl on New Year's Day.
Oh, that's a good bowl.
Yeah, but still, like, when you're in the top 10 in the BCS, it would be nice to get into a BCS bowl, especially when you see, like, UConn. But we've already had this discussion.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you. I think that they shouldn't have a limit on the teams, and I don't think that all the teams should be guaranteed one. I don't think the Big East deserves one this year, even though Andy's boy, Jordan Todman, gets to go. And he's the only reason why they're there. Let's face it.
Certainly.
Cormac, anyway, enjoyed the game. He's a little scared about the Bears game.
Should
like,
be.
Like Andy is. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up that I'm flying to Boston next Tuesday and hoping to drop in with Christmas presents
this guy
on
freaking
the Thursday show. Cormac, you really do too much for us. Seriously.
But we'll see you Tuesday.
But thanks for coming. Is it going to work for you guys? Absolutely. If so, can you ask Kevin to email me the details about how to get into the stadium? I can't remember from the last time I came to see you. So
save that one.
You saved that one, Renee.
I'm Renee.
Yeah. Why don't you better save it? Because if I don't get presents next week, I'm going to be cranky.
I'll come in and forward it to myself. Hang on.
He's going to come in and forward it. What is he doing?
No. It's fine. I saved it. I didn't delete it.
Really, when Fred Kirsch sleeps, we fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, you know.
It's the all monkey hour.
I needed him to log on to the computer for me because I don't know the password. I didn't need him to, like, you know, save emails. Cormac. This one right here, guy.
The one that says Cormac. Where's our lunch? Why are you shrugging your shoulders like my 1.5-year-old daughter does when I ask her a question?
He said it's coming.
Has it been ordered yet?
What do you think of the Urban Meyer situation, Andy? I think it was like just the bottom. You know, he gave it another year to make sure that you know, his health was an issue, and then he said, "All right, I got to get."
Well, I think it's health. I would assume his wife has said, "Stop." That's what I think. I think there is a pressure here from true family. Like the wife can't deal with this anymore. I don't want to lead this life anymore.
I think so too. And evidently, it came after like some real intense discussions with his family.
Yeah.
I don't like to see that kind of thing happen. As you know, I'm not a big injury guy. I'm not, you know, real life health. I'm not a big Urban Meyer fan. You know that. I am glad that he's okay and he's getting out. But I'm glad from the spite side of me, which is, as you know, pretty big, that he had a bad year, that he's going out on a bad year. He's okay. Everything is fine. I mean, healthy, 46 years old. He's got his whole life ahead of him. He's got a young family, whatever. I'm glad for him. But I'm glad that he's going out, not on top, but right smack dab in the mediocrity.
Well, he'll be back.
I like that.
He'll be back. This is not the end of his career.
He'll coach again?
Yeah.
Well, when it's divorced from his wife?
No, my guess is
when his wife has him around every day and realizes, wow, I liked it better when you work 22 hours a day.
Part of that, but also when his kids are older, when they are just families and it's not. Sounds like he wants to watch the two girls play volleyball. He wants to watch the other one. And so 4 years, 6 years, I think you will see Urban Meyer return to the college sideline.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the way they all do it, so you're probably right. Let's see.
You're
here.
A negative man, though, to be happy that he struggled. I mean, he was going to struggle this year.
I couldn't.
But he was going to struggle.
So I'm glad that was his last year.
Okay, but
he
struggled. It was. How many people did he have drafted in the first two rounds?
Oh, I don't care. I don't care. I'm glad that he struggled. Alabama lost a ton too. They were a pretty good team.
You are so negative.
I don't like them. I don't like guys that think that they invented the game. It's pretty simple. It's that style of coach, that arrogant, you know, I know more than everybody around me. I'm the smartest guy in the room no matter where I am. I don't like that. You know that.
You know what I'd like to have? A double bacon pizza from Papa John's at their advertising.
All right. Let's see.
You know what I can't have?
Double bacon pizza
from Papa John's.
Steve in Albany is looking for Kevin or whoever plays those opening songs. I am begging you, no more Tommy Two Tone, please.
Who's Tommy Two Tone? What's he saying?
867-5309. Oh. Please play some Dropkick Murphys. No. Shipping Up to Boston. No. I haven't heard that song
Katie
all
Perry.
Year, and I think it's about time to kick it up a notch on the radio with music selections. Or 10 notches above Tommy
Katie
Tone.
Katie Brand.
Please.
I heard she's changing her name.
What are you doing now? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Why are you touching each other? Oh, my God. They're going at it.
I'm in the middle of reading an email, and he's like, now he's
ruining the show?
I don't know why his hand needs to be there. What are you doing? Oh.
Talk to me, Goose.
Yeah, because that's what I'm looking for. Is that why Fred is always so clueless? He's talking to you on Google Chat?
No, because he ignores that, too. That's why they sit on hold for 20 minutes.
We have some Onto Chicago emails, too.
Anyway, yeah, I'd like to.
I'll just introduce the phone calls today.
Okay. Right, Why don't you introduce lunch to me?
We have Derek from the University of Arizona.
Yeah, he's one of our staple callers, so we'll go right to Derek. At the it's amazing. He got through on one of the open lines. Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm not really sure. I love the no explanation why is he touching you for about 10 seconds. That's pretty good.
Yes, it was awkward. I had to watch Paul and Kevin touch each other.
That's good. Actually, I was only on hold for like 2 minutes. So
See what happens? We get rid of Fred and you're right through, right to the air.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Speaking of amazing, how about that game? Incredible, huh?
Yes. Wasn't all that entertaining in terms of being hyped up as the regular season game of the last two decades, but from a Patriots perspective, it was certainly an ass whooping.
I thought that was interesting that Rex Ryan actually apologized to the league. He said, I feel bad for the league. It was a big game and we just didn't show up.
It's true.
You know? Yeah. Did you hear some of Braylon's and Santonio's comments yesterday?
I did not.
I saw the Edwards one where he says, I don't want to say they ran it up, blah, 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 but they ran it up.
Yeah. Braylon's an idiot. Santonio Holmes, I don't want to go ahead and quote him because I don't have the quote in front of me. But for paraphrasing sake, he was saying like how he's not playing for the media, he's not playing for the fans. You know, he's playing for like his job. And I don't know. You'll have to look it up. But anyway, two idiots. There's just a bunch of idiots on that team.
It's a bunch of idiots in the league. I don't really have a problem. I don't know exactly what Santonio Holmes said, but the tenor of what you just said to me, I don't have a problem with. I think you play for your job. It's your livelihood.
Like I said, I was paraphrasing, so I don't have a quote in front of me. That's the way he said it.
Braylon Edwards, I would agree. I think he's a rockhead.
Yeah. But Andy, I also share your concern about the Chicago game. I'm not really – it's kind of funny. I actually said it when I talked to John Rook last week. I said I was really concerned for the Chicago game, but it's really hard to find yourself, you know, worried about a game after a performance like Monday night. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that. You know, I was talking to a couple of the writers in the locker room today, and just asking what we think. And I understand all of Andy's points about the spot. And in the NFL, the spot is very important. You know, coming off such an emotional win and playing a tough team on the road in tough weather conditions. But I'm with you, Derek. I just can't. Pick the way this team is playing right now, I can't pick against them.
Yeah, I can't pick against them either. I'm trying to talk myself into how they can lose, and it's a lot different from earlier in the year when I'm talking myself and how they can win, how the offense can get going, how the defense can stop someone, and yeah, they've been just so consistent. The defense and making plays and just coming through at the right times and. With in the last few weeks, the offense has really been rolling. It's pretty incredible to watch.
It is, and it's incredible based on the fact that you talk about consistency. I think this team has now become pretty consistent. It's giving up a lot of yards but making some plays on defense. It's Brady, ridiculously accurate and spreading the ball around to all his receivers on offense and scoring 30-plus points a game. And that from a team that I think we said was going to ride a roller coaster all year. There were more ifs than answers for this team, we thought, in August and September. And as I said yesterday, I think what we didn't take into account, the biggest factor, is that Brady could be that much better than he's ever been.
Well, Brady has answered a lot of the ifs.
Right, but I didn't think he could get better. I thought Brady was great. I thought he was a Hall of Famer.
I agree.
Now he's moving up the charts of Hall of Famers with this performance
in my
mind. I
agree with you. They've been so good.
I mean, he's got a chance to take home his second NFL MVP, lead a young transitional team to a Super Bowl and who knows what, get another ring. To me, this is the type of thing that you start to point to when you decide – okay, Brady is better than Manning, and these are the reasons why.
Sure.
Yeah, he looks out of this world right now, and I'm not sure. I listened to the show in its entirety yesterday with class, but now I'm pretty much done for the semester, which is good.
He's going to come in to visit too, guys. He's coming
over
for Christmas.
Yeah, I'll see you guys in probably like, 10, 12 days. So.
Nice.
All right. Yeah. We have a lot of visitors on tap for the holidays.
Kind of an open house atmosphere here in studio.
Yeah, but I think NFL Network said it, and if you guys covered this yesterday, just I'll move on. But I think it was Mayock that said how Brady might be just finding this energy from all these young guys coming in and taking notes and coming in studying hard and putting in that work and learning the process, and Brady's kind of energizing from that. And I think that might have some like validity to it. But
I think you're not really sure. I think you're right. I think the roster turnover and the young energy that's in that locker room, Hernandez, Hernandez in particular is a guy that I've seen Brady invest a lot of energy in.
And he said he's tough on him. Like, yeah. Brady came out and said it.
Oh, yeah, and it's clear. I mean, you see him bark at him, but then the other night you saw him celebrate with him like you don't see him celebrate with a lot of players. And I think he understands how good he can be, and I think he sees some of that in other aspects of this team with young players. And I think you're right. I think he's gotten a little boost. And these are different than, okay, well, we added Junior Seau, some old guy. I mean, there's a different value in that. But these are young guys who are at the beginning of their career, and I think Brady feels like, I can lead them to greatness. If I can get them to follow me, I can be the Seau showing them how to succeed. And in doing so, I get to ride that as well. Yeah. I think there is something there.
Yeah, I'm with you, Derek and Andy both. And I think Belichick has done a nice job. Remember, not so long ago, the locker room wasn't that strong place that we've become accustomed to. And I think Bill has sort of transformed that almost overnight. And I think Tom has fed off it. I think you guys make a good point about Tom sort of being re-energized by it.
Now, if only I could get him to work out in the off season, he'd be even better.
It'd be all set.
But it's amazing that, when I first started listening to the show, just around the draft, and after, we're going through training camp, we're talking about all these guys that, what they could do for this team. And I think, a good majority of them have really stepped into what we thought they could really do and more. I think obviously Spikes has gotten a little better each week. I made a good play this week, definitely the play of the game. Gronkowski's turned into a guy that is, very well-rounded, kind of something that I thought, he could do. I know, Andy, you were saying the same thing. We were just talking about Hernandez, and, McCourty's playing out of this world right now. I mean, he's got 64 tackles. He leads all cornerbacks in tackles, rookie cornerbacks in tackles with 64, mm-hmm. and he's second with passes defended with 19, one behind Joe Hayden, the rookie standout in Cleveland. And, he's got 6 picks, which is, I think the most in the league is 7, and he definitely leads rookies. So, they're all playing crazy right now.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. His downfield coverage and ability to make plays on the ball when they're in the air is phenomenal right now. And I know you get in trouble when you start to project and extrapolate on growth and how much better he's gotten in the last 6 weeks and can that continue. But he clearly has the makings of an elite corner. I mean, for what he's done as a rookie, the professionalism, I think that's the key. Because a lot of the guys that get great, they always talk about how important game film is, and I didn't know, I learned how to prepare. Based on what Belichick has told us, Mayo has told us these guys, he knew how to prepare when he got here. He was a very heady football player. And if he can continue to do that, I know this is a cliche, but I think the sky's the limit. He seems like a pretty talented freaking corner.
Yeah, I think he's been phenomenal. And, I wasn't as high on him. Not that I was down on him, but I wasn't quite as high on him as some people say over the first month and a half. But
I didn't think he played all that well.
I think he has been at an absolute higher level mm-hmm. for the last month and a half or so. I think it kind of started. I talked about those downfield plays that you keep discussing.
Well, that's what he does. I still think you can beat him short. I still think you can run comebacks, in cuts, slants, and beat him all you want. And I think he'll get better at that.
Yeah.
But down the if you're going to give up one thing, if you're going to give up a 7-yard out or a 35-yard bomb, I think Bill would like him to start really good at the bombs, and we'll get him better on the underneath stuff. And even if he never gets great at that, I can live with that. I can deal with that. I can play within that in my defense.
Right.
If you just give up bombs, you can't play.
So thanks for that call, Derek. It's some good stuff there.
Good test coming up, by the way. Greg Jennings for him. Because that's what Jennings is. I mean, Jennings is a down-the-field kind of guy. And my guess would be McCourty will be on him more often than not. I don't think you want to match up Kyle Arrington. So that's a good deep ball guy.
Makes sense.
Challenge.
Makes sense. Yeah, a lot of Chicago talk, too. Let's see. Who's this? It's what is it? Farley from the Land of the Clam, Ipswich. I like it.
Nice.
What an impressive win last week. Fatmouth Rex got caught being a jackass. It was a pleasure to watch. Now I hope they save some energy in the tank for the Bears. I am going to the game with a couple of friends. We'll be staying near Navy Pier. It's my first trip to the city. So my first question is Ditka's Steakhouse worth the trip?
Everybody says it is.
It's a good place. It's
expensive.
A little pricey. So if you're looking to save some dough, it's probably not the place to go. But
I've never heard anyone say it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was good. I think we went back in 2000, Eric and I. I mean, not Eric and I, Fred and I, and Brian at the time. And it was definitely worth it. My second question is, do you guys, even you, Eric, think that we... think they will have a bit of a letdown after the big division win, or will it be so damn cold it won't even matter? I'll be wearing my dual folds. What are dual folds?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought that was something I was getting caught being unhip about.
Well, you're not very hip, but...
To the game too, Fred.
Nor am I.
Tell Paul and Andy that even the hoi polloi can afford them, and they are of great quality.
Oh, is that the underwear that Fred was touting?
Probably. Have a safe trip to Chicago yourselves and go Pats. Is that what it is? Do you know what dual folds are, Kevin? No, it's all right.
It's going to be cold, though, so make sure you bring extra dual folds.
Yeah. Fellas and Eric, says Brent from Illinois. The forecast keeps changing. Looks like the cold is coming Monday and the snow will be here for Sunday's game.
Yeah.
I will be there as the Patriots expose yet another team in the Bears. I feel good about our chances as the Bears are sounding overconfident, and I just don't think Lovey's defensive scheme will stop Brady. Have fun out here this week and enjoy the new stadium, which looks like pretty much like a toilet bowl dressed up with some columns from the old place. I have always heard it looks like a spaceship. Inside is nice, but as you drive up, it leaves something to be desired. And that's Brent in Illinois. I am looking forward to seeing it because even though I have been to Soldier Field, I have not been to the new version of Soldier Field. So I'm hoping it's another one I can cross off my list and it's worth it. You have never been to either one, have you?
No.
Were you at the 2002 game in Champaign? The big comeback game.
That was at the University of Illinois, wasn't it?
Correct, in Champaign.
David Patton had a catch and he...
Unbelievable.
And the pebbles came up.
One of the most amazing comebacks that I've ever seen. For my money, it's Brady's best comeback. 27-6 in the third quarter. I think they were down 12 in the fourth quarter still. And they came back, and it was a sick, sick catch by Patton in the back of the end zone with, like, 19 seconds left. And the funny thing is they had actually picked off a pass, the Bears, and the guy dropped it as he was running, and he ended up being called incomplete just before that. So what the highs and lows of that game were quite remarkable. I'm going to have to get to a break because I can't stand all this food being here. But let's read a couple more here. Caesar in Pleasanton, California. Love the show. What are your thoughts on the upcoming Bears game? I have a fear that the Pats come out flat after such an awesome performance against the Jets and only score 13 points with the Pats D looking like they did at the beginning of the season. What do you think, Andy? You've been big on the Chicago bear trap, if you will.
I don't think it's going to be a huge letdown. I think they could get beat, but I don't think the reason will be a letdown. They're not going to be as high as they were Monday night. They treat Jets games differently around here. We've seen that for years. That's just the way it is. But there's something between Jets and Cleveland. There's you know, whatever else you had to show up for the other nine games of the year. There's something in between. So I think you'll get that. I think you'll get a solid effort. But my concern is you're tired. It's a short week. You don't have as much preparation time. And I think it's a tough matchup, as I've said. I'm not sure you're going to get pressure on Jay Cutler. And when he's not pressured, he's done a pretty good job this year. And I'm not sure you're going to be able to run the ball if it's windy against that Chicago front.
Yeah,
and just the Bears defense in general, I think, is a challenge for Tom Brady. I don't care how well he's playing. They're a pretty good defense.
Yeah, to me it all comes down to protection. Because if you can get some pressure on him, then that makes it difficult. That makes it difficult for anybody. I don't care how good you are. But if they don't, I think it's a scheme that Tom will take advantage of. They don't have exceptional personnel beyond, I would say, what, Urlacher and Peppers?
And maybe, the other guy's having a good year.
Maybe Briggs? Well, Adonijay? Yeah, I think that he's probably benefiting a little bit from being on the other side of Peppers, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, but the Tampa 2 scheme, if you have fast linebackers, is good.
Oh, no, absolutely.
So if Briggs and Urlacher are two of your best players, because we often see those two deep safeties, teams beat them underneath.
And I think
if your linebackers are getting their drops, that's hard to do.
And that's one of the things that I think really hurt Indianapolis, for example, in the game. They have the Tampa 2 scheme that has the bookend pass rushers that are pretty good at getting pressure. But what they didn't have that day was linebackers because they were all hurt. Gary Brackett missed the game. Clint Session missed the game. Tawan Hagler, I believe, they signed off the street before the game. Pat Angerer started, as a rookie, like, what, fourth-round pick or so. So that I think, really hurt Indianapolis in that game. And you're right. If Briggs and Urlacher can play at a higher level, I don't know what the deal is with, I know I'm going to mispronounce the name, but Pisa Tinoisamoa. Is that close? He missed the last game with an injury. I'm not sure what his status is. He did not practice yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Chester Taylor also missed practice yesterday, Andy. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did.
Before, there's a lot of Chicago email here, and we will get to those after the break. But just before we go, remember
this guy's the opposite of Fred. He says break five times before he breaks. Fred just goes break and make sure you hit the
button. Because I like to make sure that he's ready. Unlike Fred and have him scramble around like a little monkey in there.
Yeah, Fred will just be like, I got to go to the bathroom, and then just leave.
Paul's the opposite. He said break five times, and every time I reach for my headset.
I'd rather have Paul.
Well, you can reach for your headset for this. I'm just going to read the email. It's from PJ. Remember when Fred was talking about that kicker, Alex Henry? He said he heard Jake Steele talking about his boy. I'm a big Husker fan. Henry has been automatic throughout his career and is being argued as one of the greatest college kickers ever. He is 21 for 22 from 40 to 49 yards in his career. Don't forget that he plays in a cold weather climate as well. He also hit a 53-yarder against Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game that they showed from the side view when the ball went over the height of the goalposts. It may have been good from 70. He also averages 42 yards a punt from the line of scrimmage, not where the ball is punted from, Eric, as Eric calculates it. I'm not sure how good that is, but it is serviceable. Would a coach like BB be able to utilize a player like this to use only one roster spot for a kicker and punter? It seems like that extra spot would be huge, although I am not sure if one player could handle the kicker-punter responsibilities at the pro level. Anyway, great win for the Pats last week. Very interested to see how the game plays out this week in the brutal temperatures. Thanks, PJ. I appreciate the Alex Henry.
That's a really interesting thought. I've never even thought of having your punter.
One guy?
Yeah.
I think Russell Erksleben, 100 years ago, was a candidate to do that, and he was a bust.
I'm kind of surprised that there hasn't been more.
Yeah, I'm not sure it makes a ton of sense, because then if you lose one, you know, like let's just say, for instance, this year with the Patriots with Gostkowski, he gets hurt in that Cleveland game, now you're really in trouble. So I'm not sure that – listen, if a guy is good enough to do it, I think that someone will give him a chance. But I'm not sure that that is a foolproof plan, let's put it that way. All right, now we will reset here. We have a lot to talk about with the Chicago Bears, and we'll get to that and more after this.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti.
Hello!
You're listening to PFW in Progress on Patriots.com radio. Really, Fred? My hip?
So, Pat, the advantage points have been better than your parents this year.
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Congrats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
Paul and Andy back from PFW in progress here at Gillette Stadium. Still waiting on a practice report from Eric. And someone to excuse themselves.
My mic was off.
Oh, I know. It didn't come up. Didn't hear it.
Is that kind of like the someone other has, someone podcast has to take over. In that bled in?
You have to take over for Fred, right?
Yeah. Well, now that I'll be reading the emails while eating like Fred does, I'm sure I'll be taking over for Fred in that department. I don't know. How did I get roped into this, by the way?
With a big rope?
Oh! I'm now giving the Fred Kirsch blank stare into the camera look that would normally be happening right now.
No, but you're already eating more distinguishedly than Fred does.
It's true.
Fred just, like, shoves it in his mouth. Like you should see him eat the... My favorite thing of all time is to watch that man eat buffalo wings. I'll try to do the show.
One hand.
Just sucks everything. He's like a vacuum. Sucks everything straight off the bone.
Sucks the chrome off a bumper.
Did you hear that clip from Survivor that Jody gave us yesterday, by the way?
I didn't see it.
It's a girl talking about how it sucks the life out of you. It sucks all of this. I have nothing left to suck.
Is she hot?
No, but, you know, it's Survivor. None of them are hot, you know, because they're all, like, skanky and dirty and scummy.
Some of them have big tacos.
You know, when they, you know, I'm sure when they...
Got there?
Yeah. And I'm sure when they leave, they'll be fine, too, when they get cleaned up.
I heard Ryan Seacrest talking about the new class of American Idol, and he said a lot of hot babes.
Oh, really?
He said, quote, the guys will be happy if they like 20-something hotties.
Ah, Eric's not interested.
I am.
Of course everybody else is.
Ryan Seacrest may not be interested.
Wait a minute. This just in. This just in.
From Nelly?
Hold the phone. Duofolds are a brand of long underwear. That's from Dana. In Gunnison, Colorado. Thomas says in Bedford.
Oh, is Dana the tree counter?
You may be right.
Thermal
underwear, and it is far superior to Under Armour when it comes to non-athletic wear clothing. Okay, so there you have it. Once again, better than Google, Andy.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
Watching a chick squat. And this is the first time ever I've ever gotten something to work on my phone. I can watch YouTube clips on my phone now.
Seriously, what are you doing?
I don't know. Blame strippers. He sent it.
Let's see. We got an email from Greg from the billing department. What's up, guys?
Hey, can I use your guys' phone for a sec?
Did you get yourself a whole large pizza, fat boy?
No, I ordered a large calzone, and it's in a box.
Oh, okay. Is it good? I've never had a calzone.
I'll try it in a sec.
What the hell have you been doing?
I felt special the other day, being dubbed and all. I'm just going to start walking around and calling people swine and peasants from now on. I was trying to get an email out to you yesterday, but I'm stuck training the new person this week. What a game. I loved every second of it. I know we're supposed to move on to the Bears and talk about that game right now, but I just had to get some things off my chest about the Jets game. First, before I start with my ranting, at what point do you give the nod? Did you give the nod, Paul? And Andy, you can attest to this. I gave the nod at 10-0 when the 12-yard punt and the Patriots took over on the 32-yard line. First quarter, Patriots up 10-0 with the ball. Game was over in my mind. In retrospect, it was over long before that, too, but that's when I did. Okay.
It was actually over when I walked across the parking lot, and Mark Sanchez at some point was walking out towards the stadium as well.
And he said, what?
No chance.
I'm cold. Okay, so the defense played very well, but I really think that one of the first four picks that we have for the draft, first or second round, and by the way, keep in mind, we haven't talked about this a lot in the show. One of those second round picks is Carolina's.
Mm-hmm.
That will be number 33.
Unfortunately, the Raiders one isn't as high as you hoped.
Right, we hadn't talked about that a whole lot, but we focused on the Raiders one not being
Quinny
as high.
I don't know if Quinny will be there at 33. I need Quinny.
But you know what I'm saying? We focused on the Raiders not being as high as we thought, but we haven't really talked about the fact that you're probably going to have the first pick of the second round.
Who cares? Get Chad Jackson or something.
He thinks that we need to be dedicating it to getting a new safety because Merriweather is absolutely horrible. On one of the Jets' first three drives, there was a play where he had zone coverage going. Arrington let Edwards, I think that's who it was, go, and you see Merriweather come from about 12 to 15 yards back and take another terrible angle to get him, and then he had to play catch-up. I mean, Edwards is 10 to 15 yards behind Merriweather before he realized what was going on and all, and all Sanchez had to do was just loft up any type of pass, and it would have been 7 points for the Jets. I mean, terrible. This is absolutely accurate. A lot of people were talking about this on the radio yesterday. They showed the replay on TV, and it showed how wide open he became because Merriweather just can't judge angles, not for tackling, not for coverage. I really think that Bill is just going to cut ties with him after this year. He's too much of a liability. Besides that, the crowd seemed very loud throughout, and from what I could hear, Kevin and Doc did a really good job with the sounds, especially early. On the Jets' second possession, when they had second and 11, the horn went off, and the crowd absolutely loved it.
Well, the horn's tremendous.
Good job, Kevin. Now on to the Bears. I somewhat agree with Andy that this is a bad spot for the Pats, and I actually worried about this game. That is, until I heard the comments that Urlacher had to say about the Pats. Doesn't he know that talking crap about the Pats, he doesn't say crap, I did, only gets your team punched in the mouth? Okay, except for week two.
But he didn't talk crap either.
When the Jets talked crap and won, and then in week 13 when the Jets didn't talk crap and got killed.
But I don't. Maybe I didn't read all his comments.
He said he thinks they're a better team.
Right. He goes
again,
and he said,
I don't
just
want
like
a
the
guy
Eagles,
on my team.
Everybody was talking about the Eagles, right. And they came in here and we beat them.
Yeah.
That's what
I don't want a guy on my team that doesn't think
right.
Their team is better. I just don't.
Is he supposed to say, you know, they really are the better team. We're just hoping to squeak one out on Sunday.
Right. If that's what happens on my team, if that's my coach saying it,
right.
I fire him.
It's
if
Loserville.
I'm the owner. I am really confident that we will not lose another game all season. Not with the way the offense is walking over everyone in any way.
Didn't he just say he was worried about this game?
He was until Urlacher said
that. Oh, okay. That's the reason. Okay.
Yeah. And the way the defense is playing as of late, especially the young guys, 4-time Super Bowl champs and Dynasty still going strong. Anyways, you guys and Eric, kick ass and thanks for the show. Also, since this is my first year listening to you guys, I don't know what your schedule will be like come playoff time. Have a good time. Go Pats. We will be with you, Greg, in the billing department. The same schedule until the season ends. So we will have three shows a week in the playoffs, even Super Bowl week
live
in Dallas.
From Dallas.
We will give you three shows that week as well. I should point out
you know
that lunch was provided by Nelson.
Mandela?
And I don't believe we have an email from Nelson as of yet, but if he does, we will make sure we get that at the top of the quiwi, as Andy would say.
He moves right to the head of the class for today.
We have a question here. Evelyn in Springfield wants to know, Andy, do you think...
She's hot or old?
Urlacher.
Because I'm going old.
You think
Evelyn is an old lady.
You
name.
Think
Sorry,
Urlacher
Evelyn.
Will remember how Brady scrambled and left him behind holding air
yes.
The last time they met?
Yes, I do. And I think he'll knock his bleeping head off, as he should. And
he
even if he
penalty?
Gets a penalty. Yes. I don't think he's... Brady took advantage of a nice guy that day. It won't happen again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool
yeah.
me twice, shame on me?
Right.
Yeah. You won't fool him twice. I struggle with those.
You struggle with everything.
That was he took full advantage of a guy who was worried about hitting a quarterback. He was going to be the nice guy and let him just go down, and he didn't. It won't happen again. He'll kill him. He'll try to knock his hair off. I hope he succeeds.
Well, that'd be some hit if he knocked his hair off.
Well, if it's real. If it's a wig, it could just pop right off in any minute.
James is in the UK, and let's see, he has... Dear all men of PFW and John Rook.
Did you see the thing about Brady at the charity event Tuesday night?
I did not. His
wife, and apparently his sister is involved with this charity. I forgot the name of it, but it's involved with AIDS in Africa and worldwide health.
Is that in conjunction with, you know, giving them laptops?
Did
he give a bunch of kids laptops in Africa, too?
I think he might have. But Giselle and Brady were there, and there was an auction. Lenny Clark, I think, emceed the auction. And one of the items was just the opportunity to throw a pass to Tom Brady or catch a pass from Tom Brady. And some woman outbid Giselle. Giselle went up to $25,000 and bowed out. And somebody else kept bidding. You also, one of the things that got $25,000 was the opportunity to go shopping with Giselle. I don't think I would bid on that. I mean, unless I was a horny guy like Eric.
But so you spent $25,000 to go shopping with Giselle to spend another $25,000.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No question.
A lot of money there.
I just thought it was funny that somebody outbid Giselle.
Andy, sounds like a different tax bracket from Paul and Andy.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, $25,000 just to go shopping with Giselle.
You can deduct it.
How much more do you think you're going to spend when you go shopping?
I don't know. Who said she gets to pick where we go? I'm taking her to Walmart.
I got to talk to you about something later. Let's see.
You saw Giselle at Walmart?
No.
Fought a woman at Walmart. Oh, wait, you don't go to Walmart. It's beneath you.
I was actually in Walmart last night.
I don't like Walmart. Target is so much nicer.
For the same exact
store, basically, there's such a difference.
I would agree, but Target wasn't on my way home. Walmart was. I just had to stop in real quick. Love the Jets game. Have been working nights at Christmas, so I came home early in the morning and watched the game just after it finished when I really should have gone to bed. I may have annoyed my neighbors, rather, when I screamed for a flag on the Gronk end zone pass interference, a play I want to see more of in the future. Wow. That's Fred Kirsch-like. Because that flag came immediately.
Instantly, yeah.
So you were screaming for a flag when the flag was probably already on the field. For this week's Chicago game, I see the Bears as a cheap man's Pittsburgh. Both have awful offensive lines. Both have inconsistent quarterbacks. Wow. Is that a slap in the face of Ben Roethlisberger?
Mm-hmm.
But Cutler is easier to get on his back. Pittsburgh running game and receivers aren't also as good as the Steelers. Well, Pittsburgh running game and receivers aren't also as good as the Steelers. So which one do you think he meant there? Chicago's not as good as the Steelers or Pittsburgh's not as good as the Bears?
I would say Chicago's not as good as the Steelers.
Certainly running game.
And I'd say wide receivers, too. Knox is having a good year.
But Pittsburgh has no receivers beyond.
They don't, but Hines Ward, I mean... Resume and Mike Wallace, I would say, compares to Knox.
Big play threat, yeah.
So I would say Pittsburgh's all around bet. Heath Miller is
I think this comparison loses some steam when you call Ben Roethlisberger an inconsistent quarterback. I mean, he's one of the best winners in football.
Sure.
Now, the other part, offensive line is pretty clear-cut. And
pass rush-based defense.
Yeah. On D, both have elite pass rushers that must be dealt with, but the secondary isn't great, and the Bears don't have a Troy Polamalu. If it wasn't for the weather, I wouldn't even be worried about this game. Very quick game he wants to play. Who would you prefer to face in the playoffs, assuming the Pats have the top seed?
Okay.
Chiefs or Jags?
Jags.
Jets or Ravens?
Jets.
I would say Jags and Jets. Is that exactly what you said? Yeah.
It is.
The Patriots podcasts are a great help getting through the long nights. Have recently gotten into the Pete Shepherd show, too.
Pete
is an angry, angry man, and I like it. Keep up the good work.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
That's how angry of a man that Pete Shepherd is, by the way. He thought it was good news when someone died. That is one of the most phenomenal drops in radio history. I'd love to be able to tell you that it's fake, but it's not.
Did you listen to the audio of Howard Cosell announcing?
No, and I want to. Where can I find that?
I don't know. I heard it on the radio yesterday.
Yeah. They were talking about it, but I didn't.
And it almost sounds like he's going a little too over the... You know how usually when they're talking about death, live events, they really rein it in, and you lose the Jaworski, the TV, the big voice. There,
I was,
he didn't. Dead.
I was actually
on
turned
arrival.
On.
Like, he was playing it up.
I was turned on to a guy. No, that didn't come out right. But anyway, no, someone told me about this guy that was kind of like the European version of Tommy Heinsohn, like the complete homer, way over the top, but the soccer version. And I found some of his clips, and they're just, like, here, listen to a few of these.
How is this related to How It Goes Hell?
It's the gladiators out there, man! Not tennis players!
What did he say?
Like a Jedi Knight! No, better than that, a Templar Knight! This is a flash of pure inspiration! If you smell a soccer jockstrap, you...
What about smelling a soccer jockstrap?
Yeah, it's pretty good, and he gets in fights because his partner is always trying to, like, kind of bring him back down to earth, and he just, like...
What's his name? Mike Gorman.
Will you stop talking about tennis players and stupid Hollywood actors?
He's talking to his play-by-play guy?
Yeah, and the other guy's name is Phil, which I found kind of funny.
Well, just stop talking about tennis players and actors.
Because he's just yelling at Phil the whole game, and this was just, like, from one game.
And who does he do?
I think he's the Manchester United, color guy or something like that.
I like him. He entertains me when I can understand him.
He was, I don't like soccer, but I heard this over the last 24 hours, and I was like, man, I got to get some of this guy's clips to bring to the show.
What'd you talk, Daka?
Mish.
Mish.
In Edinburgh.
Not from Mensa?
No. Totally random hypothetical question. My favorite, Sandy.
Yes.
Because unlike Bill, I do deal in hypotheticals. But if the Patriots win the Super Bowl and Carolina finishes last, then the Patriots will have the 32nd pick and the 33rd.
Yes.
Is there a rule that prevents the team from letting the clock run out on day one, taking the night to consider their selection and field trade offers, and then proceed with both moves on day two?
I don't believe day one ends until the 32nd pick in the draft. It would go on in perpetuity. They'd make everybody sit there.
Yeah, I think the NFL, I don't know if this is a strict rule, but the NFL talked to the teams last year before the draft, if you recall. And they basically said, let's not have any of that nonsense. Now, I don't know if they were dealing with strictly those top seven picks that are considered to be the cumbersome contracts. I don't know if they meant it for everybody. Certainly, if it's not a rule.
Technically, the first round of the draft doesn't end until that pick is made.
Right. So at some point, that pick has got to be made, and it's going to be the 32nd pick. I don't see why you would have, you could make.
You could go extra. Either way, I guess you could kind of go extra. I don't know how that would work either.
Yeah, if the 10-minute clock ran out on you, you're not. I think that Goodell said, let's make sure we get the picks in on time.
Right.
That's not something I would test if I were the Patriots. Let's put it that way.
The sheriff.
You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
Kennesaw Mountain Goodell. Let's not irritate him any more than we already have over the years. But an interesting thing, and you are correct, and I just mentioned that coincidentally about Carolina. You're probably going to end up with 32 and 33 if you end up winning the Super Bowl. Is it okay if I just said they won the next seven games and get on with it?
Sure.
Yemi in Texas. Maybe Mike Wright does have a neck injury and not just a concussion. He has missed two games and was not at practice yesterday. Why do you guys think Tate has, by the way, he does have a concussion. He's listed as a concussion, right?
Right.
Why do you guys think that Tate is struggling with kick returns in the last 10 weeks? He's been completely shut down. I can't even remember the last time he got to the 40. Do you think his frustration as a receiver is spilling over?
I don't know. I don't think he's been as aggressive. I don't think he's hit it up there as quick as he did earlier in the year. Could that be a little Lawrence Maroney-like in that he feels like I need to hit some big plays, I'm not contributing as a receiver? I don't know. I don't know what the mental motivation for it is, but I don't think he's been as aggressive.
I would agree with that, and it's been, like the emailer said, it's been a while. It's been like 10 weeks. It was a quick hit, and then it seemed like looked like some teams were sort of making it difficult for him with directional kicks. Mm-hmm. Now I just think that the blocking hasn't been the same. I think he's dancing a lot, as you said, Andy, not being real decisive with his. I think sometimes you just have to be content to say, when you catch the ball, I'm going to get to the 28 on this one. And I don't think he's done that enough. I think he has caught the ball too often and said, I have to make a big play. And when you do that, sometimes you're not going to get back to the 25.
You're Lawrence Maroney.
Sometimes you've been, not even getting to the 20. Chris with a T-I-A-N chiming in. Toward the end of the game, Mike Tirico spoke of the production meeting he had with Brady. Brady told him that they met with Belichick for the first time this season and reviewed film of the Jets. The extra time because of the Thanksgiving game allowed them to meet. He said that is what really helped him prepare for the game, having Belichick point things out to him, and that made things a lot clearer. Hmm. Tirico noted that in the past they used to meet every week, but since Belichick was with the defense this year more than ever, they didn't meet as much. I thought they met every week.
To watch film or just to talk?
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit... Yeah, it might be two different things.
Yeah. But that would be one of those examples where you'd say, is he spread too thin? I mean, is it hurting anything?
Well, because if it's accurate exactly the way it's described, the simple answer is then why are they not meeting every week?
Right.
In that way. Because if it was that much of an advantage, you'd think Brady would say, I need you, Bill. You know, I need you to watch this with me. You point things out for me and help me. You know, it's pretty simple.
I'd say it in a much less nice way. Stop helping the defense. They suck anyway. I can be good. You've seen me be good, and I can be better.
You know what? You would say it like
I would
that.
Say something like that.
And that's
why Bill would hate me.
Why they hate you. Steve is another guy staying on that theme of guys who hate you.
Oh, good.
Hey, Paul, why does Andy continue to overthink the matchups and statistics? Has he learned nothing from picking the Steelers and calling a close game with the Jets, or is
this
weather that is deciding the outcome?
Whoa. First of all, everybody on the planet called a close game with the Jets, and I believe I had an 11-point victory.
I called a close game with
wasn't
the
all that close.
I said 30-24, so I was as far off as anybody.
When you say 11 points in a game between two 9-2 teams, you don't really think it's all that close. Now, I thought they were going to pull away probably late. I thought they'd have to fight for it.
Well, that's what I thought.
I didn't
think
the Jets would roll over in the first quarter.
I thought it was a chance. I picked a one touchdown game. I thought it could be a two touchdown game, but if that happened, I thought the Patriots would score late to salt it away.
Steve-O, you show me the guy who said Patriots blowout other than like Fred Kirsch.
Looking at the Bears this year, I think they're another Jets type fraudulent team. Can I just say something about here's a rant, okay? The Jets are not a fraudulent team.
Indeed.
Okay? The Jets are not a fraud. Why do we continue to diminish what the Patriots accomplish by calling the teams that they beat fraudulent?
I don't know. That's what fans do.
End of rant. Yes, they have some key players that could hurt our offense, but I'm not too worried about their offense against our up-and-coming defense. I don't think anybody gives our defense enough credit for what they've been able
You're
to
right,
do.
You're right, I don't.
Yes, they're last in the league, but get your head out of your stats, folks. They've proven wrong more than right.
That is exactly true.
I couldn't agree with you more, Steve.
Couldn't have written it any better.
Why does this Bears team feel better than the Patriots team?
Feel better?
Yeah, the Bears team is not better
than
the Patriots
team. It's not
better.
No
one's claimed that.
If they were playing in Foxborough, I'd be picking the Patriots to roll. If they were playing in the Super Bowl, I'd be picking the Patriots to roll.
If the Patriots
were playing
in Chicago with a regular week, and the Patriots had just come off a routine win over Detroit, I'd be picking the Patriots big.
Not Monday night, not against the Jets, and not in 49-mile-an-hour winds. Although I still say that makes it just a luck game both ways.
Chris in Stamford, Connecticut, says, well, today is my birthday.
Happy birthday!
I'm 42. Hey, Paul Perillo, he says, because, you know, I'm 42. And have
you don't look
what?
A year what? Younger what? Than 55.
What? Anyway.
You have, almost to Social Security? That'll be good for you, being how old you are. You'll actually get Social Security, unlike me, who'll never see a dime.
You think you're sniffing glue if you think I'm going to get any of that.
Why? You're like a couple years away.
Yeah. He's had a great week, starting with Monday Night Football, including my wife getting me a spa massage. No, Andy.
Did you get a happy ending? From her or the masseuse?
Was the team we saw on the field Monday night similar to the one we'll see on Sunday? I like their defensive look overall, but I'm concerned about some of the openings that Sanchez wasn't able to take advantage of and Cutler might. Hmm. Can they give Brady enough time? Not as nervous about this game, though I think they'll win. I guess you could say I'm emotionally prepared to lose.
You should be.
Not as nervous about this game, though I think they'll win. I guess you could say I'm emotionally prepared to lose. All right. Seems kind of contradictory to me if he's not that nervous about it.
What is he nervous about?
Have a great day, guys. Off to a good start so far. Chris, happy birthday, my friend.
I get what he's saying. I can decode it in fan speak.
Okay.
In idiot speak.
Go ahead and do that while
you're
I take
an expert
a,
in idiot.
While I take another
a bite.
Bite.
Of cheeseburger. Well, I think what he's saying is he's not nervous or worried about it because it's a non-division game. It's a non-conference game. And he thinks that they very well could lose it, but if he loses it, he's not going to be that stressed about it.
Okay. So,
and that's the way kind of I feel about this. If they win, it'll be a bonus because I don't expect them to win.
Okay.
But I think if they lose it, it's not the end of the world, and I'm not going to beat myself up over it, you know? So I think that's basically what he's kind of breaking
it down.
It
won't feel good. Won't feel good
it never feels good to lose.
Tied again. But I mean,
if you're
going
to lose to a team,
again.
Why not lose to a first-place team on the road? I mean, if you're going to if sure. there's a spot where they're going
to
lose.
Better to lose here than to embarrass yourself in Cleveland.
Exactly. And the fact that it's a non-conference, non-division, or any of that stuff.
I'm going to reanalyze it, though. If he gets a happy ending from his wife, that's not all that cool.
Well, I missed that.
He's shooting kind of low.
I missed that. Well, no, he wouldn't be shooting low, if you know what I mean.
How do you know what his wife looks like?
No.
Oh, I was going to say that.
You people told me that a happy ending is strictly hand. From your wife, I'd like to think you could get a little bit more. Right?
I don't even know what to say.
I wouldn't take a bite. You need to read an email or something unless you want me to continue to discuss happy endings and go a little deeper into this topic.
I like my job. I like to be. I'm honored to be here.
You should like your job.
It's fun.
You're like Kyle Arrington. You're along for the ride here.
Yeah, I think so. Although I only have like 6 months left maximum. So
I would agree with that.
Okay.
You will not be around this time next year.
Okay.
Lock.
Wow.
Book it.
Can you leave him alone?
Do you want to make a bet?
What do you want to bet? A lunch?
Sure.
Okay. A lunch on it. December the...
Whoa, now we're in December. He said 11 months.
I just said, lock, you won't be around this time next year.
What? Wait, is this... the lockout might have something to do with that, too, if it happens.
There won't be a lockout this time next year. No okay. chance in hell there'll be a lockout.
What's your rationale, though? I'm just curious.
What?
What's your rationale?
You don't fit. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Strippers chiming in, Andy. Oh, you lost 4 first rounders and still won the Big 12.
He's setting an appointment in his phone for a year from now.
Andy, could you hear me?
Look what? At him.
Oklahoma lost 4 first rounders last year and they won the Big 12.
So? What was the point?
The point was, he had to have it. Urban Meyer, he had to have a down year. I mean, look at all the first rounders they lost.
Yeah, they lost a lot of players.
Yeah, so did Oklahoma. They won the Big 12.
They lost 4.
Yeah.
How many did Florida lose in the first 2 rounds?
First rounders. He lost 4 first rounders, Oklahoma, according to strippers.
Not really, by the way. Because one of them didn't play. Right?
What, Gresham?
Bradford. Oh. So 2 of them didn't play. So you lost 2 first rounders. Thanks for making my point, Strip.
Details.
Right? I mean, they didn't play, so they weren't really a part of the equation last year.
To me, the argument is the SEC is a real league. There is no other league that's real. They're all good. Big 12 is good, the Big 10 is good, but none of them are the SEC. Let's see. This is Al from Italy. Where's Fred? You need him. You are taking a detour into college football. I think this game is not as easy as someone thinks. Please keep your focus. Wow, Andy, you have now taken heat for saying the Patriots are going to lose because it's a tough spot, and also we're taking heat for not taking the game seriously enough. So I guess it's right about where we should be.
Right.
Bob, next up. Let's see here. Several weeks ago, I asked Paul and Andy what odds they would give Brady to break Favre's record of winning 25 straight games at home. They basically threw cold water on that possibility. I'm on the verge of not reading the rest of this email. Because basically you're telling me that I threw cold water on the fact they could win another home game in a row?
I don't even remember the question.
There's no way that I said there's no way that Brady's going to win 2 more home
Who's
games
this
in
guy?
A row.
Is he a credible emailer?
It's Bob.
Who's Bob?
Bob from Account Temps.
Is it really?
It just said, well, I don't want to read his last name. It's part of his email, but it's not signed at the bottom.
I'm not familiar with Bob. If strippers
told
me
Brady
I said
now broken
I said
the Favre record at 26 games, and by the way, much like the Patriots scoffed and ridiculed Indianapolis for their winning streak that broke the Patriots winning streak that didn't count playoff games, I'm not really counting this winning streak either because they lost a pretty big game in the middle of it. I will ask you guys again, how far can Brady extend this streak, and do you think that this streak will ever be beaten ever in the future? I do think it'll be beaten in the future, and it will have no consequence to me whatsoever unless it counts all games, including the playoffs. And since week 3 of 2001, under Brady, the Patriots have never lost a regular season or playoff game at home when leading at the half. I will go on the record to say, this record will never be matched or overtaken ever in the future history of football, currently at 46 games. Very proud of you. That's mighty nice.
I think all records will be broken.
Just the fact that Matt Ryan is 19-1 at home tells me that it's not that out of uncommon. When I think about how incredible this is, you know there had to be several games where the Patriots could have come up short. The latest would have been the Colts game a few weeks ago. If the Colts had come back to win, it would have been the first time under Brady that someone had come back to beat the Patriots. And finally, fellows, here it is, living proof that quarterbacks can get better with age. Brady passer rating from 01 to 06, 88.4. Brady passer rating from 07 to present,
107.3. Okay. Well, part of that was he was entering his prime, right? I mean, he's in his 11th year, so 07 was 4 years ago in his 7th year. I mean, that's the prime of your career as an NFL quarterback.
Right, it's not like you're old.
Is it Theismann that has the whole thing? It takes you 5 years to learn to play quarterback in the NFL or something
like
that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's entering your prime. He also got the best weapons he'd ever had.
Well,
and it's swayed a little bit by that one great year.
Yeah, 07 is way out of whack. I mean, I'll tell you, 09, to me, 09 was one of the worst years he's had. But his passer rating was the second highest of his career, correct?
I believe so.
But, I mean, I think he was much better in 06, much better in 04, much better in 02 when they didn't even make the playoffs, and he basically had to carry the offense. Strippers chimes in and says that both guys on Pro Football Talk picked the Patriots to win the game. Florio 28-20, Rosenthal 28-21. This time around, the opponent is much more formidable with a quick strike passing in that will gladly take what the cover two defense gives it. New England has rediscovered its 2007 vibe without the pressure of having to remain unblemished, says Mike Florio. So, Andy, you seem to be the only one.
Well, what about Chris Collinsworth and Warren Sapp?
You seem to be the only one of substance. Don't get too comfortable over there. You're going to have to read emails. Oh, for God's sakes. You have to read
his nose looks bigger when it's
Come
red.
On, I'm starving.
Rudolph.
Just wondering how many times the Pats have faced Cutler and how he has fared against Belichick's defense.
Eric, with your
past.
Nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Andy?
What?
Just
Focus.
Wondering how many times the Patriots Focus, have faced Andy. Cutler in the past and how the Patriots have fared.
How many times?
I can remember
Handful.
One. Monday night game in 08 here.
I think that's the only one.
In my opinion, Matt Castle's coming out party. The Patriots absolutely blistered the Broncos.
That's correct.
On a Monday night game here, and Cutler got hurt very early in the game.
Yeah.
He hurt his hand, if I'm not mistaken, and didn't play the last 3.5 quarters.
If you guys want to get a treat, you should go to the horse track and watch Wes Welker jockey.
That was a classic. On Monday night's game, did you guys see at one point LT had to call timeout when Sanchez went into the center? He looked like a deer in the headlights. I agree. We've talked about that. That was from Owen.
That was another good thing on the Showtime NFL Films package was LT getting the Jets fired up pregame yelling, "We're physical, they finesse. We physical, they finesse." Jumping around and, you know, seeing as they didn't show up 2 minutes later when they stopped their little...
I give LT credit, though, because that's the blueprint to beat him. That's what Ray Lewis does. That's how you have to do it here.
True.
If you expect to come into Gillette Stadium, that's what you have to do. Now, the problem is he didn't go out and do it. The
problem is his quarterback pooped himself.
Yeah. We've said this. This is not a new storyline. The Jets can't win if Mark Sanchez doesn't play reasonably well. And if he plays poorly, they get blistered. He played poorly Monday night.
But why are all these fans buying into James Sanders saying, "You see what happens when we play defense like we can? We're dominant."
But isn't that what you're supposed to do as a fan?
Really?
Yeah, you're supposed
you don't
to get
see that. Oh, my God, there were receivers open. He just missed them every time. You don't see that? Your blinders on? I'm all for being excited. This team is among the best in football, can compete for a Super Bowl with the defense as is.
Right.
But the defense is what it's been.
They haven't had the improvement on defense that people are talking about. I don't think. But
I don't think they will until they get a little pressure. If they don't get pressure, they're not getting better.
Well, a lot of people think that we're wrong about that, too, that they have gotten pressure, and that's forced a lot of the interceptions. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying that at all.
I'm not buying it.
Let's see. Hi, Andy and Paul. Who's this from? Let me check this out here. Chicago. Oh, it's from Sam. Sam in Chicago.
What's up, girl?
Boy.
Thanks for holding down the fort while the Chief is away. I'm looking forward to the game on Sunday and hope you enjoy your cozy press box while the rest of us commoners freeze our asses off. I hope I can stretch my Welker jersey over my spacesuit. It will be tough, but I'm looking forward to seeing if they maintain close to the same level as Monday night. Anyways, I implore you to reach outside of your comfort zone and try something different for dinner. than the TGI Fridays disguised as Ditka's. We're not going to Ditka's, I don't believe.
I'm going to the TGI Fridays
disguised as a room service.
Freaking pansies I work.
There
with.
Is much better food and scenery than Ditka's, which can be slightly entertaining on Sundays when Mrs. Ditka comes over comes in from mimosas. And the wait staff scrambles around to please her for fear of being turned to stone. for some great ribs and not far from the Lansdowne Division Street strip, try Q on Dearborn. Are we're right downtown?
We're south of downtown, but still in the city limits.
If you do go here,
indeed,
right around the corner is the Lodge, a great local watering hole. Well, Sam, where can we meet you so Eric can conduct the Croc Dundee test?
There's no tests.
Beaver Stadium. Dick Stadium.
You want to know what happened at practice or what?
Beaver Stadium.
Why don't you give us a nice
Dick Stadium
detailed update of what happened at practice. Go.
Okay. Lower fields where the Revs usually practice.
They're not using it?
First time all year they've been down there. Yeah, the Revs aren't. They're out of season right now.
Well, their season ended, and they were still practicing for a
I know.
While. It's the worst schedule in all
I didn't
of sports.
Think, I didn't think they were ever going to leave the training camp fields.
And
but
thankfully,
apparently,
none of their players got drafted in the expansion draft. They were able to keep all their subpar talent.
Right. So they
Your boy Mansalad, he couldn't get enough. He just wanted to keep playing after the season. It was 3 weeks.
Well, he's the man. That's why he's the man.
Mansalad.
Sally. Sally.
So down on the lower fields, they had shells and sweats. Five people missing today. Will Height, Chung, Spikes, Pryor, and Wright. So that's two more than yesterday.
The Chung one is not a good one.
Yeah, and Spikes wasn't on the report. Neither of them were on the report yesterday.
Chung didn't play a lot last week.
Did not.
So I wonder if he's had a setback, re-injury, something there.
But he wasn't listed yesterday.
No, but it was just a walkthrough, right?
Right.
Yeah, but they still listed people.
Okay. Fair enough.
I agree with both sides. It was just a walkthrough, and they did list people. So I don't know what the answer is, but I thought it was interesting the number of reps he got the other night and how he was deployed.
He was a little quiet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wonder if he's had a little limpage.
It's possible.
And especially when the secondary kind of went off in the second half and everyone seemed like they were making a play.
Possible. Spikes is confusing,
but
too.
But at least Paige is back.
Spikes didn't seem to have any... hasn't had any issues at all.
I didn't see
all
him
year.
Leave either. Really. No. I didn't see either one of them leave the field. That looked.
But
like
the fact the guys that they listed yesterday were not out there at all. Correct.
Correct. Except for Brady, they listed Brady with the.
And he wasn't out there.
No, he was out there.
Oh, no. I mean, that did not like was Wright and Will Height and
Wright, Will Height and Pryor were not out there.
Did
and
not practice yesterday.
No, they weren't out there. They weren't listed.
I thought you said Pryor was back yesterday.
Yeah, you did because I said back from a back injury.
Yeah. I thought it was Will Height and
Wright.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mike Wright?
he's got no
Pryor. He cannot keep up with
he's
me.
He's got a Pryor.
Pryor returned yesterday and was not out there today. So he's back on
so prior to practice.
The missing list.
So that's my point.
Pryor to attending.
The walkthrough, if they didn't actually attend the walkthrough yesterday, they were listed. But there were obviously injured guys that did attend the walkthrough that didn't get listed yesterday, that didn't practice today. Myron Pryor being one of them, who was probably well enough to stand there for a walkthrough. Maybe that means that he has a chance to play, much like Chung and Spikes have a chance to play. But, so they were part of a walkthrough, but not well enough to practice.
Right.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Just surmising.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just suppose.
Right.
Just suppose.
Was that cheeseburger pretty good?
No. I mean, it's cold now.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers?
Yeah. That's Andy will tell you that's why they lost in week 13.
Indeed.
Not
quite
see.
Ready for anything else, Eric?
That's pretty much it.
It's cold out there.
Brooklyn Matt wants to know, he was listening to the podcast yesterday on the subway last night, actually, and threw up my arms and muttered, "Oh my God," to myself. Andy didn't know who Ace Frehley was. Good one, Einstein. He's all over you. Then Andy went on to wonder if Kiss was ever really popular.
I knew that. No. See, now you're just being an a-hole, which is
maybe
are
a little bit.
To do.
Hey, Andy, does the most records sold of any American rock band in history qualify as popular? Or does over $100 million gross a year qualify as popular?
I don't know. Does 1,300 qualify as an impressive score or not impressive? I'd go not.
Does being voted most popular rock band in the 1978 Gallup poll qualify as being popular? As a 17-year-old owner of an indie record label, You have been tearing my lustrous long hair out all the time. I can't wait for the next Andy Gaff. Paul, you have my sympathies.
Who's Ace Frehley?
He was the guitarist in Kiss.
Oh. I have no reason to know that. And don't care. I'm going to remove it from my brain now because it's useless information. I don't like watching men in makeup.
Shaheen from L.A. wants
Unless
to know.
Unless they're wrestlers.
Are you guys worried at all about the rookie wall?
You don't have rules.
The Ultimate Warrior is cool. He wore makeup, so I had to quickly amend my statement there. But a guy with
Undertaker,
a long tongue
right?
who does Boring. Music in makeup, no interest. What was the question, Paul?
Boring.
Shut up. What was the question?
Paul's eating
I can't
right
answer
now.
A question I don't recall, and I know Boring. You're biting a burger right now, but no one was listening when you asked the question. Do you want me to talk about
eating
happy
a bunch
endings
of
again?
Cheeseburgers?
I told you, Shaheen in L.A. wants to know if you guys are worried about the rookie wall.
No, I'm not, because the way the schedule has been set up this year, they've had rest for pretty much every third of the season. They had a bye week in week five. They had a two-and-a-half sort of mini-bye week after Thanksgiving and the Monday night game. And if they get the number one seed or number two, they're going to have a bye week before the playoffs. So, no, I'm not worried about it at all.
Eric's never worried. He has them in the Super Bowl again, even though he closed the door on the dynasty and thought they'd never be good ever again.
Yeah, well,
not winning
the
Super Bowl anytime soon. Not winning the Super Bowl while any of us are still working here. Is that the statement
something
you made?
Something like that. Something
now,
like that.
Are we all getting laid off before the Super Bowl? I know there's a lockout coming, but it would be weird if they laid us off before the Super Bowl. No. So I think we could all be employed if they win the Super Bowl this year in Dallas.
Maybe.
But I think the rookie wall is still a concern. How can it not be a concern?
Because I all just explained rookies, why. Because they've had
you're
rest.
Wrong. We've already proven that generally when you speak emphatically about things, you're wrong. So
you've not proven anything.
We've proven that.
You've proven nothing.
You said they wouldn't go to a Super Bowl, never mind win it, while we still worked here.
That's one
They're
thing.
The best team in football.
They still haven't gone to the Super Bowl yet, by the way. Take it one
they
game
could.
At a time, bitch ass ho.
No, Paul told me yesterday it's the best coaching job of all time from Bill Belichick.
It could
and
be.
I said, no, it can't
could
be because, you know, he took crap teams like 0-1 and won Super Bowl. So until he gets a ring
the
with this team.
Eric was. To this point.
Uh-huh.
No, actually it wasn't.
Proceed.
You
yes,
added that mid-argument.
No, you can't.
Yes, you did. He never said this. Christian Fourier did not say at this point.
He said you can't judge it on winning the Super Bowl. They haven't gone there
when
yet.
When did he
it's
say
to
that?
This point.
When did he say that?
When he asked the question.
No, midway through the argument after he realized his question was flawed and I ripped holes in it and shredded it to pieces while whooping
flawed.
Your ass.
The man can barely speak English. Come on. He got the question out. You didn't understand it.
That's true. In his giddy, drugged-up state, he could barely get the question out.
Drugged up?
I don't know. It was like he was on speed. He was just bouncing off the walls. Wow. It was weird. What was the question?
Yeah. He's such an idiot.
Rookie wall. It's very much a concern. I think we've seen Hernandez slow in recent weeks for whatever reason. If by any chance McCourty hits a rookie wall, you're really in trouble on defense because he's become your most important impact defensive player. Cunningham has seen plenty of reps. I wouldn't disclude, if that's a word, Rob Ninkovich from the group, who has played more than he's ever played in his entire career, even
exclude.
Though he's a five.
That wouldn't exclude him either.
I'm going to disclude. Because if I disregard it and I exclude it, I'm discluding it.
Eric, I think you make a good point about the breaks, but there's too many young guys that are playing significant roles to not feel like the rookie wall is a concern, a looming concern.
How about
concern.
Dan Conley? I'll include him in my fives that are still rookies.
So many guys that have not played extensive minutes
Brandon
are playing
Tate.
Them right now. Well, the only thing about him is he's not really doing anything.
But he plays a lot.
Mm.
Oh, he plays a lot.
Mm.
Well, he plays a lot. I don't know what put him means. I mean,
I'm going to need more than three times.
I read that in a transcript yesterday from Julius Peppers. Somebody said you didn't do very much against the Patriots last time you played him, and it said H-H-M-M-M or something.
Was that a yes or a no?
I don't know.
My point about Brandon Tate is, so if he hits a rookie wall, you get one catch out of him every week instead of the one catch you're getting out of him every week.
I'm just saying. Maybe he doesn't return kicks.
You know, if, as you said, if Devin McCourty hits the rookie wall, that's a concern.
You lose.
He's playing very well. If Kyle Arrington hits a rookie wall, even though he's a second-year guy, first time he's ever played, that's a concern. Those are your starting quarterbacks.
I wouldn't disclude him.
Patrick Chung. You know, a lot of guys, you know, have played significant minutes as young guys that you're relying on. The tight ends, as you mentioned accurately, two fifth-year guys in Ninkovich and Dan Conley. They're guys that are playing a lot of
Cunningham,
minutes.
Spikes.
Yeah, so I think it's a concern. Is it something to panic about? No, but it is a concern.
I'll just note it when it happens. I'm not going to panic.
Brandon Tate, not one of the guys I'm worried about. Who's CGH in Gainesville? Anybody? Euler?
No, don't know.
Hey, guys.
Clifford J. Horsberger.
And that
you know
includes...
It's a G.
Oh, I thought it was CJH.
CGH, I said, didn't
Clifford
I?
Clifford G. Yes. Horsberger.
CGH, I said, right?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, guys, and
Paul?
That includes Eric.
Oh.
Clearly, it's a first-time writer who doesn't really know how things work around.
With the amount of points we're scoring consistently, do you think we've become as dynamic and dangerous as 07? I know that 07 was a special year, but we've looked really good against the best, allegedly, defenses in the NFL. Once we show it again these next 2 weeks, it'll be confirmed that this new offense is as potent as 07.
No.
As always, keep up the great work. Give Kevin a raise.
Oh, please.
You're forfeit.
Wow. I'll raise something. It'll be my middle finger.
I think they're becoming as unstoppable as they were in the first half of 07. Teams started to figure them out in the second half of that season.
I know they've had big plays lately, but
it's a different type of dynamic.
But unless you have the big play, you're not as unstoppable, because anytime it's always harder to drive. It's just a fact that it's harder to drive. That's more difficult to do.
Well, anytime it takes you 10, 12, 14 plays to score, that's harder to do than if it takes you 3.
And I'm not sure the Woodhead branch big plays are something you can count on. You've gotten big plays lately, sure. But I'm not sure you're going to make your money with those guys having
plus
yard plays.
Some short fields. Because their drive time, I think they're pretty low. I was looking at the stats for the offense for my Pulse story, and I think they were pretty low on the time of possession.
They're pretty low on it now.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought you were talking about 07.
No, now.
Yeah, that's one of the most overrated, overblown things, Eric. You're right on. People think that they're helping the defense because they're keeping the ball. I mean, they've been losing the time of possession ball, not because of offense.
Right.
Because they've had quite a few time-consuming drives, but their defense can't get off the field. They're last on third down. Well, they were heading to last week. They had a good week last week. But they were last in the league in allowing third downs. That keeps your defense on the field and therefore hurts your time of possession. While we're on this topic, kind of comparing 07, Eric and Callie wants to know, be honest. He wants a real honest opinion here. Where would the team be right now if they still had Moss, if they didn't make the trade? And obviously there's no,
I have no idea.
There's no cut and dried answer here. It's just pure opinion.
They would not be as good. I'm of that belief. That Brady is more comfortable scanning the field left to right.
So Paul can eat, Eric. You should probably read some of those.
Okay. Yeah, we got some gems, some Andy Hart gems, as cataloged by strippers over the years. April
30, 2009. Whoa. These are dated?
Yeah. 9:04 p.m. We weren't on the air. Or was that the draft? That might have been the draft.
Either that or he could have been listening to a replay.
Andy Hart, quote, Sam Bradford made a big mistake. Andy Hart of PFW really thinks Sam Bradford made a huge mistake by not entering the draft, says Andy in an exclusive interview with me. What? Bradford took a huge risk, and recent history shows that potential high picks that go back to school, Leinart, Maluga, Laurinaitis, and maybe come up with a few others, hurt their draft status. It is what it is. I'm rooting for him, but history is not on his side. Dude may have cost himself millions.
And I was right. It's going to be rare that a guy gets hurt, misses the whole season, and still ends up the number one overall pick. That just shows you what a great talent he is, and I was right on that as well. I was right.
February 17, 2009. You were wrong. February 17, 2009, 5:49 p.m., Andy Hart proclaims, Clay Matthews stinks.
The guy never started until the end of his college career and had 4.5 sacks.
We're not done. We're not done.
Give me a minute.
We're not done.
Clay Matthews stinks.
We're not done.
Paul, this is like an intervention
right here. His supplier does not stink. He has the best supplier on the planet.
Andy Hart on Tuesday's PFW in Progress ripped into USC linebacker Clay Matthews. Andy basically said he stinks. December 16, 2008, Andy Hart calls Jamarcus Russell a bigger, fatter Rohan Davey. Andy Hart of Patriots.com, you switch between the paper and the web, according to strippers here. Andy Hart really hit the nail on the head on this one. You were right on that one.
Dead on.
Except here you
Rohan, nicer, better guy.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
Andy Hart of
with
PFW.
With a longer NFL career.
True.
April 1st, 2008, you're back to PFW.
Okay.
You're off the
now,
web
is this a
now.
Bad one or a good one?
Bad one. Says Darren McFadden won't last past 5 years in the NFL.
That was a good one until this year.
He'll total less than 3,210 yards and be out of the league within 5 years.
So you still got a shot then. He hasn't gotten that many.
Wait, Paul.
But
so does this mean
what he's done this year is going to extend his career?
So does this mean I have a shot to last past the 11 months if he's been right about all this other stuff?
No.
Listen, he only tells you about the ones that he gets right.
That's not true.
I tell you the ones I'm wrong on all the time. Clay Matthews is one of the ones I was wrong on, although...
I want to relay a story about Clay Matthews that I read in Sporting News. Had an interview with Pete Carroll talking about those... it was about Clay Matthews.
The 4.5 sacks he had in his career.
And he said, one of the things he said, one of the things I've really been most surprised about is how he's been able to beat tackles on the pass rush. He was always good at going against running backs and tight ends, but I've really been surprised with how he's been able to beat tackles at the NFL level. And I showed that to Andy because I laughed, and I'm like,
Even Pete agrees with
me. I wonder how he got the power to beat tackles at the NFL level he couldn't do it in college.
He learned it.
He was all Pac-10 as a senior. I just wrote this up. They played 13 games. He started the final 10, the only 10 starts of his four-year career at USC, and he finished all Pac-10 with 4.5 sacks. He was nothing in college. Nothing. They drafted a projection. They were right. They were right. They did a fine job. Now, I have my doubts about him and his flex dance that he does after his sacks. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you. Any more?
No, that was it.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
And I still say I was right on Bradford. He got hurt.
He did
nine times.
I mean, he got hurt, but he didn't hurt his.
Nine times out of ten, if you get hurt,
status.
That kills you. These guys that go back to school and then get hurt. What's the guy named out of Louisville was going to be the number one pick in the draft, broke his leg. Now he's in Buffalo as the fifth-string quarterback.
Oh, Braum?
Yeah.
Brian
got
Braum?
Hurt his status. I mean, if you get hurt, it's hard to overcome. It's hard to not drop you down.
Sure, it's hard.
I knew how great Bradford could be. That's why I thought he should come to the NFL immediately and be great. I didn't know he could overcome the
injury.
I'm
going to defend Andy a little bit on this one, as much as I enjoy this game, and I want to make it a regular segment moving forward.
How does he get these? Does
so,
really
strippers, if you can...
He listens to everything and writes stuff down.
As Fred would say, strippers, if you could,
yeah.
You know, could you maybe furnish one of those maybe every 2 or 3 weeks or so?
Yeah, it'll be easy because he makes ridiculous comments all the time.
Well, there's none better than, I go back to it all the time, teams with this many injuries prepare for drafts, not Super Bowls, and they went on a 21-game winning streak right after that, the week after I wrote it.
They set an NFL record for most wins ever without losing.
The best one. That one cannot be topped.
That's classic.
Spirituality, faith, and democracy.
But here's why I agree with Andy on the Sam Bradford debate. He came back, to school and... basically missed the entire year. What did he play? Less than a game.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
And he was still the number one pick.
BYU.
Still the number one pick. So why wouldn't you just leave? If you're going to be the number one pick, why wouldn't you just go?
Right.
You know, it's one thing to return to school to improve your draft status and therefore increase your viability salary-wise. He didn't do that.
Now, there is an argument.
If you wanted to go back to school just because you like the college... fine.
He may not have been the number one overall pick. Anyway. I mean, maybe Stafford was the guy, right?
Maybe.
So maybe that was it. Maybe he found out somehow, you know, he was not going to be that Stafford was going to create the buzz, the arm, everything.
I would tend to agree with Andy. More often than not, when you're in that situation, if you get hurt, your draft stock is going to suffer. Sanchez was just so good that it didn't suffer. And he's proven to be the real deal.
As I predicted, I didn't see that in there. I want the date and time when I said Sam Bradford is the next Peyton Manning. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback who's yet to step
Andy,
in the league.
Well, you say that every 5 minutes, so you don't have to catalog
that. That's not part
that.
Of the segment, Andy.
No.
It should be. It's
that's
fun part,
part
of the segment.
Wow. 145, is that right?
Yes.
How about when I said James Starks is going to be a player in this league, and last week he had 18 carries for 73 yards for the Packers, and in a week from now you better worry about it, Patriots defense, because you're going to have to stop him. How about when I said that?
Bad Kevin
straight off PUP.
In.
I don't like this guy either. This show's taking a turn for the worse.
Hey, Paul and D-Bag.
Eric just got here. How did you know he was going to be
from Illinois, this game is huge for me. I have a bet, a jersey swap with another teacher here. I think that all Bears fans are some of the most unintelligent fans in football. not only does this game put us in an even better position for the playoffs, but it is a huge bragging rights game for me. Now for the question. How long is the amount of time that one team's fans can bring up the previous... winning in an argument about who is better. All I ever hear about around here is 1985. Come on, guys, that was 25 years ago. Get over yourselves, Bad Kevin. I would agree with that. That becomes a little tiresome. To be honest with you, the Patriots have won their titles in this, you know, in the modern era, so to speak, within the last decade. And I think it gets kind of tiresome around here.
Plus, is there a single member of that organization that's still
around? I mean, didn't the guy die the other day?
Who are we talking about?
It's now been passed down the family. I mean, there's no one.
Who are you talking about?
The Bears.
The email.
The Bears ownership.
Yeah, but
McCaskey.
Oh, the ownership. Oh, okay. I thought you meant
anybody in the Bears. Anybody in the Bears.
Anybody.
Is there any tie?
That's still in that organization?
Maybe works for that organization still?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe there's like a Donnie Brocher who was around then and still there now.
But, I mean, that would certainly seem to be the cutoff.
Donnie Brocher's an equipment guy for those
No one exists from that time. You can't talk about it anymore.
Is Ron Rivera still coaching?
He's the defensive coordinator for the San Diego Chargers.
San Diego, right. That's right.
Number one defense in football.
That's right.
Jeff
Fisher was on that team.
Hey, guys.
Involved with the organization.
I know. I'm just saying.
And
I'm
Eric,
just trying to think of guys.
What two teams?
Eric's trying to think of guys.
What two teams do you think have the best chance to win out, and what two teams do you think have the best chance to lose out?
I think the Panthers have a good chance to lose
out. Yeah, I'm not sure I got the question. Also, with the field reportedly so bad at Chicago in the frigid temperatures, do you think that there will be an increase of injuries? I'm thinking there will be a lot of twisted ankles.
No, well,
I suppose it's another thing to worry about, but
I'm not sure there'll be twisted ankles. It sounds like it's going to be loose. Generally, you get a twisted ankle when it gets caught.
Right. I'd be more worried about the knee hitting the ground because it'd be more like a cement, you know, surface.
I'd be worried more about just slipping and falling weird.
Or just like, tripping over like the loose sod.
I think sometimes in these, you don't get as many injuries because it's kind of like when you're driving in the snow and people are, you know,
extra cautious.
More cars bang into each other, but no one gets killed because everybody's going slower and bouncing and.
Yeah, Kevin, let's take a quick break. We'll reset. We'll do the picks.
Take a quick break,
and then we'll finish it up.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000
miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
They weren't for me.
What?
You really play right along, Andy. All right, we're back here for the picks and the final segment of the show. I don't know where Eric just got up and wandered off to, but
he'll be quickly, by later.
Recapping
last
week,
Andy, the show.
Which is a good week for you. I'm proud of you in a couple of respects, and I'll get to those in a minute. First of all, you won the week.
Again.
Going 14-2.
I'm big late. I'm like the Patriots. November and December is when Andy kicks it in.
Fred went 12-4, and Eric and I went 11-5. With the spread, Fred and Andy went 10-6. Paul went 9-7. Eric went 8-8.
You know what? I'm a lot like Belichick. You know how young quarterbacks sometimes make him struggle?
That.
He needs to get tape on people before he can really come up with a defense. That's how I am with picks. Early in the year, it's all a projection. When you show me what a team is, I can match teams up. I'm more of an analyst than a projector.
Is he still talking?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Anyway, the season standings to date are, and I continue to set the pace, which is very impressive.
Which is a very slow pace.
120-72 for me. Eric, 118-74. Andy, 117-75.
Oh, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm right behind you, Eric, and I'm coming.
don't ever say that again.
That's
please.
Very disturbing. Fred, 108-84.
108?
And
he's
84.
9 games behind me?
He's
that
terrible.
Would be accurate.
He really is terrible.
With the spread, I am 99-85-8.
99.
Oh. Eric,
yes.
96-88-8. Andy, congratulations. First time all season.
Mendoza line.
93-91-8. First time all year he's been above 500.
And
I think this is impressive. With the spread, the worst of the four of us is Fred at 93-93-8.
Yeah.
I think that's not bad.
That's not bad, but that's excellent with this.
I think I've decided this is what I'm going to do to supplement my income from now on.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Joey the Nose, and I'm going to put $100 on every game every week. If I can go 13, 14 games over 500, I'm going to call Joey the Nose and put a bean on every game all year. And then I'm going to retire after the third year.
How do those odds stack up against like what really happened, like what most people do? What's the average for?
The Lipper average?
Yeah, sure.
It's below 500. It's why bookies
is
stay
it below
in business.
500?
Yeah, I don't think you go over
bookies
500
win.
With a spread very often. Bookies,
and pretty much every year we go
win.
Over 500.
Well, that's my thinking. So you know when I start to do this,
wait a minute,
first
though.
Year I'll go 15
so
below
500. So that only means you win $1,300 though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in theory.
So you only need $3,900 to retire? He's done a fine job with his 401k.
I'm sorry, this guy doesn't need an extra couple of grand in his pocket.
You said you were going to retire.
First of all, you think I'm high enough to put a bean on every game every year?
I need the $1,300 just to keep health insurance.
All right, first game is tonight.
Actually, I need more than that to just
tonight.
Keep
the Indianapolis Colts at Tennessee. Colts by 3 and struggling.
Struggling.
I could care less about
I'm going to say they get out of it.
Struggling.
Physical, dirty Titans defense. I say Manning gets back on track. Doesn't, 11 interceptions he's thrown in the last three.
Yeah.
Not another one of those games. And I think the Titans are done. Pack it up,
yeah,
it in.
Yeah, I think so too.
All done.
I'll take the Indy to win. Cover. Whatever.
Colts could be sub 500 after tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to take Indy too.
I doubt it, I think they won't.
I think they're a proud team. And we were talking about San Diego earlier, Andy. How we think they may pack it in after losing last week. I don't think Indy will do that. I think they're a proud team. They still hold out hope, and I think they'll play hard tonight. And
who's playing quarterback for the Titans? Still Rusty?
I think Collins
I think
played
Collins
last
came,
week.
Yeah, I think he came back.
He played last week and didn't really make much of a difference. Speaking of Jacksonville, who Tennessee lost to last week, they host Oakland, and they are favored by 4.
Jacksonville by 4 at home over
hosting
Oakland?
Hosting Oakland.
Oakland going down with a fight. They lost 2 weeks ago, bounced back with a big one last week. I am going to go with the home Jags. Two teams I don't trust to have a little fight, but not all that good teams. I'll take the homer.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think Jacksonville senses that they can win that division, and I think that's what's going to propel
taste
them.
Taste
Yeah.
Just so your listeners know, I know sometimes you keep track of this stuff. Fred has picked Indianapolis in the Thursday game. And that's the only game he's picked so far. We'll get his picks on Friday. However, I already penciled him in for the Pats.
I was going to say, he also picked the Patriots
later on
in the Sunday game.
Cincinnati is at Pittsburgh, Andy, where the Steelers are favored by 8.5.
Steelers will indeed win by more than 8.5 because they're the better football team. They'll run it right down their throats. Bengals done.
I agree that the Bengals are done. However, I don't like that number, so I'll take Pittsburgh to win. Give me the Bengals.
It's probably the smart money.
Eric is right. I will do the same. Cleveland is at Buffalo. Buffalo by 1.
That's a tough call.
I'll take the Browns. I'll take Peyton Hillis to run. They're two similar teams that I don't think are overly talented, fight to the finish, playing for their coach, all that. So theoretically, I should take the home team, but I'm going to take the Browns. I think they have a little bit more talent right now.
And the Bills screwed me in my upset pick last week, so I'm going with the Browns too.
No one makes it more personal than Eric does. I'm looking at this a little bit analytically. I just don't see Buffalo having an answer for Peyton Hillis.
Right.
They can't stop the run.
No.
So I'm going to take the Browns.
You know what that means? He pulls a hamstring the first play of the game.
Well, absolutely. And there goes my, you know, put a bean on every game,
right,
Joey the Nose theory.
Right.
That's, which is why, you know.
There goes retiring with that $3,900.
You know, and that would have been my, you know, my red flag, blue light special. Hey, I'm going to put 5 beans on that one.
Paul's thinking this is 18-10.
Anyway.
I got $3,900 in the mattress. I'm feeling good.
Giants at Minnesota. Giants by 2 on the road.
Giants at Minnesota by 2 on the road.
That's what I said, isn't it?
I'll take the Giants. Better football team. Some, they'll probably knock Favre out, and you tell me that's the key to beating the Vikings. I think you could be scared to death.
No, I said that cost me my upset special last week.
Gets the hell beat out of you by Tavares Jackson. But, I'll just take the better football team, and that should be the Giants when they show up to play.
Yeah, I think so, too. Giants have something to fight for. Vikings don't. So I'll take the road team.
Yeah, I like the Giants. My worry
there was
would be,
no chance in hell of you picking the Vikings in a close game.
Yeah, my worry for that game would be the Giants been really running the ball a lot lately and running it well, and Minnesota's not an easy team to run against generally, but I'll still take the Giants. Green Bay at Detroit. The Packers are a road favorite by 6.5.
Yeah, they'll win by more than 6.5. This is a big game for the Packers. You can't trip up as you come down the stretch here. And if you know, prevailing wisdom holds true, and the Patriots go into Chicago and beat the Bears. The Packers are tied for first in that division. You can't allow that to slip away. You need to give yourself the opportunity to win the division. To do that, you beat the Lions.
Yeah, I'll take Green Bay to win too.
Why'd you say that so reluctantly?
Because the Lions put up a good fight every week
and lose.
I know, but one of these weeks they're not going to lose.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, when they get a new coach. I'll take the Packers as well.
Shot at Schwartzy.
Yeah, Schwartzy I don't think is getting the job done.
I thought you liked Schwartzy for a while there.
Oh.
Or was it Andy? Who
no
really?
Better than that.
Okay, all right. All right.
Oh, I kind of like Schwartzy.
I know what it is.
It's a characteristic there.
I know what you're talking about.
Atlanta is
He once passed someone in the airport. And anyone who's ever passed him in the airport, Paul hates. Eric, I think he hates you because you passed him once in the hall.
There's a much more tangible characteristic to Schwartzy. Anyway, Atlanta is at Carolina, another big road favorite for the Falcons by 7.
For good reason, because they're going to win in cover by well more than 7.
Yeah.
They're the best team in football, according to some power rankings. You certainly don't go against the worst team in football and lose or not be able to win by more than 7.
Yeah, Atlanta's going to step up this week.
They're going to rally.
They are.
They're going to step up.
They had a great win. Come from behind win against Tampa last week. That steamrolls them ahead.
I'll take the Falcons too, but only because Carolina's so bad. I don't have a lot of respect. And strippers, if you want to tweet it out again today, the Falcons aren't as good as the best teams in the AFC. Tampa Bay at Washington. Tampa Bay by 2 on the road. Interesting spot for the Bucs.
Yeah, can they bounce back? I'm going to say they're young, they're energetic, and I say they bounce back here on the road and they win this one. Hopefully they won't need their little comeback thing, which is their formula that fell apart last week when the long-motioned quarterback threw an out that took forever to get there. I say they go into Washington and win this one.
I think so, too. I don't like what Shanahan's done this year in Washington, and I do have to respect what
Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris is done down
you
in
really
Bay.
Respect it so much you can't think of his name.
I'm with Eric. I've been very impressed with Tampa Bay getting a little more respect for them the last couple of weeks in defeat than maybe I got when some
when
of the games that they
teams
won.
Earlier, yeah.
I thought they played a really good game against the Falcons. Probably should have won it. But I agree with Andy. Interesting spot to see how they bounce back. St. Louis is at New Orleans where the Saints are by 9.
You know, I always like to pick the Sanchez. I cannot pick him to win on the road in New Orleans.
No, not
but you know what? I'll take him. I'll take those points. Sanchez will keep it close enough.
I think I'm going to do the same. Yeah, the Rams are a better team than I thought they would be at this point. And the Saints are a questionable team. Sometimes against teams like this that they're supposed to blow out, like I thought they were going to blow out Cincinnati last week. They came down to the wire.
He's talking I'll take, fast like Andy.
Yeah, I'm
I'll
with
take
you.
The number.
I'm
I'll
with
take
you guys.
The take the
it's
number.
Unanimous, New Orleans, but I'll take the 9 points. Seattle at San Francisco. The Niners favored by 4.5. It looks like they're going back to Alex Smith.
Yep.
Oh, doesn't matter which Smith
doesn't
plays.
Matter. Yeah,
they're not that good. And Seattle controls their own future, right in that division. They got a one
I
game lead
so.
Or two. One game
tied.
Tied. Oh, then they
six
win this.
6-6. Right.
This is the game they need. Pete gets it done. He wins a lot in California.
I agree. I like Pete to win this game.
Yeah, I'll take San Francisco. Seattle stinks. The only games they'll win, I think, a couple of times at home against bad teams. But I
think
they
San
lose
Francisco
on the road.
Stinks?
Yeah, I do. But I don't think they're worse.
Who's
going to
make plays for them on offense?
I think they have more talent than Seattle. Miami
Frank
is
Gore,
at the Jets
joining
in a game of big-time interest to
Miami
New England
Jets.
Fans.
Jets.
How do the Jets bounce back after that miserable performance?
You don't even need to give me the number. They blow the bleeping Dolphins out of the water. Yeah. I think they win this game by 3 touchdowns. I think the Dolphins pay for what the Patriots did to the Jets last week. And I think the Dolphins are ill-equipped to do anything right now. I saw Chad Henne, and he sucked
yeah,
last
terrible.
Week. They went all Wildcat for a stretch because he was so bad.
Yeah, I don't like the Dolphins going up in this situation. I'll take the Jets to win big, too.
I will take the points. I'll take the Jets to win the game, but they don't win games by a lot of points. And I don't think they'll do that this week. And Miami always plays them tough. I'll take the 5.5. Denver is at Arizona, where the Broncos, believe it or not, are a 5.5-point favorite on the road.
I will take the Broncos to win and cover. I think they get the little boost from the change in coach. I think they... Yeah, they,
right.
I think they.
Sue,
yeah.
Don't you think you deserve a penalty for
we're watching
for that?
TV here in the studio, and Dominican Sue
you
just
too, John?
Hit Jay Cutler with a shiver to the back of the neck head area.
Oh yeah,
and extended it.
I think it's the very.
I think
definition.
That's what gets. But I think swing. That's what gets you. Anytime you do anything kind of illegal, and they see the extension of whatever
exactly.
it is, they call.
He doesn't actually hit him in the head the way it looked live.
Looked like he was just
but
trying to shove him
to
the ground.
To me, it's the very definition of unnecessary
roughness.
He Tito
Santana'd him, gave him that big. Mexican
and
forearm.
It was one of
you
the most overplayed things ever, as I pointed out. It was going to set up a 2nd and 2 from the 15, and they make it sound like that won the game for Chicago because they called that penalty. They were going in anyway.
Did you make your pick?
Who's the game?
Denver at Arizona. Denver.
Denver
by
gets the
half.
Boost from the coaching change. I have to think there are people in that building and on that team that didn't like Josh McDaniels. I think they come out with big emotion against a pretty sucky football team and win pretty easy.
Denver to win. Give me the number, though. I think it'll be a field goal that decides it.
Yeah, I think Denver blows them out, too. Arizona's just terrible. As John Rook once said,
sucky, sucky.
Sucky, sucky,
three,
sucky.
Three, yeah, three of them.
It's three of them.
Kansas
three
City sucky. At San Diego, where the could be the Matt Castle-less Kansas City Chiefs will have to try to win in San Diego. Chargers by 7.
This is a really tough one for me to pick. I don't know whether the Chargers pack it in because of the loss last week and say this isn't the year. This, you know, we can't continue our streak of just winning out late in the year and
going
to postseason.
That's what I originally thought too.
But if Matt Castle doesn't play,
that
I can't pick the Chiefs. I think Brody Croyle is one of the worst passers that's ever stepped on an NFL football field. I'm going to say Castle plays, and I'll take the Chiefs. I'm going to say
when was the surgery? Tuesday.
Tuesday. 3 to 5 days. Doctors normally recommend you don't lift or partake in strenuous activity.
That's pushing.
What's so strenuous about a football game? Eric.
I took the Chiefs in the paper, and I like to remain consistent. I'll hold out the little bit of hope that Castle does play, because you're right. If Brody Croyle plays, forget about it. So I'll take the Chiefs, but I'm crossing my fingers.
I think Matt Castle or no, San Diego blows them the F out. I think they will have one last hurrah. They know that's the team they have to chase. They'll put some pressure on them and say, if we can get within a game with 3 left, anything can happen. They'll take one last chance. Philadelphia is at Dallas, and the Eagles are favored by 3.5. Interesting game.
It is an interesting game. And I am going to say...
You like my editorializations, John?
Yes, I do. It's very good.
Is that professional radio?
I'd say it's fairly professional.
Okay.
Fairly. Although it should be 3.5, not 3.5.
Yeah. Andy gets mad sometimes.
Andy doesn't like it. Right?
Andy doesn't like it? Why do you not like it?
It's Andy gay. Doesn't like Elaine.
Oh, he thinks it's gay.
Andy has insecurities.
Okay. No, I'm
clearly.
Pretty
secure. I am going to go with the Eagles to lose in Dallas. I'm going to say Dallas continues to roll, put something together here late in the season. DeMarcus Ware, I think, will be the key. I think Julius Peppers was a big key of the Bears beating the Eagles and Vic. I think DeMarcus Ware will have one of those games where you remember, you know what, he's one of the best defensive players in the league. He can control games like Vic can control them on offense.
I think it's a close game that the Eagles pull out by 4-5. So I think they'll win and cover.
Yeah, I like the Eagles, too. They're a better football team. I think they need the game, and they'll win. Dallas has been a nice story under Jason Garrett, but I'm not sold. Baltimore at Houston in the Monday night game, Andy. Baltimore is a road favorite. That's the theme this week. Baltimore by 3.
Look at that lineup. Oh, my God.
Pedroia, Crawford, Euculus, Gonzalez, Ortiz, Lowry. Lowry ahead of Drew?
Well, yeah, you got to put Drew somewhere.
Yeah.
Right-handed left.
Isn't it nice?
It's right, left.
But isn't it nice to have a lineup you're excited about again? You want to watch? You want to sit down and watch a ball game?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But I mean, that actually in print. It's like,
yes.
Oh, my
I just
God.
I add
that to a pitching staff
like
that should be better.
Holy crap.
With Fred's boy Ellsbury ninth. I like that lineup.
Yeah, I like
this. It's a pretty good nine hitter.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great nine hitter. I just don't want him as the one guy.
But what's the game?
Baltimore at Houston. Baltimore by 3.
Baltimore will stop the run, and that's all Houston can do at this point. That's when they have their big games is when Arian Foster has big games, catching the ball as well. I think they will hold him in check, and Baltimore needs to win. As you know, I've said they've been the most consistent team in football. Well, it's getting late in the year. Consistency doesn't win now. Winning wins now, and they need to win, so they'll win.
Do you get that? Winning wins.
Winning wins.
You're right. So they'll win.
That's right. Right.
I am not confident making this pick, but I'll take Baltimore to win.
You would be confident taking Houston? I wouldn't
cover.
Be confident taking Houston over ever high.
I wouldn't, but Baltimore should win and cover. I'm not confident that they will, but I'll take them to do it.
Yeah, I like Baltimore in this game, although the Texans' ability to throw the ball scares me. I think you completely dismiss that with Andre Johnson.
I think
Johnson.
It all starts with Arian Foster for them.
It might start with that, but it can finish with
you stop Arian
job,
Foster, you make him one-dimensional, you win.
Using the sprinkler offense. I will take Baltimore, and I'm a little concerned about it from the Ravens' side. The final game when we skipped over the 4 o'clock game, Eric.
And you didn't tell us.
No.
Was
Patriots
nice.
At Chicago.
I was a little out of whack
were
there. I felt something wasn't quite
something
right.
Something was missing.
Patriots
we're doing
at
John
Chicago.
Rook's job for him. You going to slip us a little something?
Patriots by 3
the
on the road.
Effort.
yeah. See,
what do you want?
I try to explain this to Fred every
I
week.
I go with a Texas sweatshirt. I like orange.
It's 2:09. We finished the picks. We have no problem.
I can be
yeah, that's about
I
normal.
You have
Thursday.
Swag that I would enjoy. Especially with all those bowl games you do and bouncing around the country.
Yeah.
Do you have an impressive attic?
Do you got a bowl?
Do you have an attic filled
I'm
with
still
like
waiting to see.
Gym bags
I do not know
and stuff?
Really,
you must
John?
Have a lot of
I have
swag.
A lot of gym bags.
Yeah, from
really,
bowl
John,
games.
It's
and
December 9th if they haven't called by now.
Probably I mean, not going to call. No, actually, there's one bowl game that I may do. So that's
which one?
I'm going to hear
that's
it.
It's like St. Eric's,
the Meineke Car Care Bowl.
Oh, nice.
Eric, do you have a date for Friday night?
It's
Thursday.
Yeah, George Foreman Bowl, as I like to call it.
George Foreman Bowl. Yes, exactly. Although I would love to get a grill as in my swag bag. I just don't know that they do that. So
can you get an extra swag bag for the
I'll
boys?
Try. I'll try. Yes.
I have said all week I think this is a tough spot for the Patriots coming off an emotional win, a short week, and I think it's a tough matchup. I'm not sure they're going to be able to pressure Cutler into making mistakes, and I think that defense is going to make some problems for Tom Brady and company. I don't think they'll lay down like the Jets did.
Yeah.
The one X factor is the wind and the cold. I think that's, as I said yesterday, makes it a luck game. I think it's a great equalizer. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that takes talent out of it. But I'm going with the Bears to win at home. I think it's a big game for them.
I'm as I said earlier in the week, I'm worried about this and the next game, potential losses for New England. I think they're a better team than Chicago, and it's probably going to snow out there. So I think I'll give the edge to New England. I'll pick them this week to win and cover.
I am, for the first time since probably 2007, I'm just picking the Patriots just because. I the way they're playing right now, they just have a look about them. Everything that Andy said, I agree with. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of logic involved in that.
Yeah.
And I'm picking the Patriots just because the look that the Patriots have right now, I don't see them losing to anybody.
Conventional wisdom does you no good.
And until I see them lose a game, I'm going to be blindly picking the Patriots like the
Fred Kirsch style.
The man who normally sits in this chair. Maybe it's something about this seat, but after watching Monday night, as I said to you guys, when I drove home for the first time all year, I said, that's a Super Bowl team after that Monday night game. So until they lose, I'll be picking the Patriots from here on out.
Yep.
And I'll lay the points, John.
I would have to concur with you, believe it or not.
I concur, my man.
Honestly, that's the first time you and I talked about this yesterday. That's the first time all season long, after the game was over, I said, crap, that's a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a team that can win a Super Bowl.
I said the same thing.
For different reasons.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You want to see Dallas.
Oh, I really am dying to see that stadium, in all honesty. That probably sounds pretty crass. My son's birthday is the same weekend, and there's a lot of things about the Super Bowl that are kind of mixed emotions for me.
I'll send you some places in Fort Worth you'll love. Okay? I'll take care of you.
I thought you went across the border for a quarter tequila shots and hookers.
I've done that before. long time ago, though,
which,
Andy.
Which cost more, the tequila shots or the hookers?
Right. Actually, the tequila.
Oh, boy.
You've been tested?
It's really good tequila.
Dude knows this testing, right? All right, so we'll make way for John Rook in the
playbook. Inside.
Step inside.
Are we going to join it in progress?
With Buster Crabbe.
Already in progress.
With Buster Crabbe.
Another terrible loss for the boys last night, by the way.
Yeah. Oh. You know, they just played awful. They played
missed
terrible.
About 110 free throws. Oh, you watch it?
I was there.
It was the key call. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Called it.
Yes.
Oh, I wish I'd known. I would have come by.
You were there at the game?
Of course.
Wow. Well, why didn't you come by?
I didn't realize you were there.
I'm right there in front of for everybody to see. I'm right on press row.
No. You losers. Oh, don't send out texts to each other.
What am I, an egomaniac? I'm actually checking out what the press
yes,
is.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
You're basically on every other show on television.
You know? I was the good-looking guy next to the dweeb.
Good Lord,
John
I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Meter was there?
He does the Boston College stuff.
Take a bow.
See?
Hello?
Not the same game.
Oh, it's not even the same game we're talking about?
No, what I said my boys.
Oh, your boys. Oh, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Rhode Island actually, from what I read this morning, played very well. I did Providence
didn't miss
and Boston
about,
College.
I don't know, 19 free throws, they might have won the game.
Correct. I did Providence-Boston College last night, and that was a game
great finish, huh?
Great finish at the end. Providence played like
been a great
crap
finish.
The
they
whole
the
game.
Shot.
Boston College shot 50% from the floor and still almost lost. Providence has got a lot of talent, but they didn't play worth a fiddly, you know what, last night. And a kid almost sank a
diddly poo.
Diddly poo.
What is a fiddly? What does the fiddly one end with?
Fiddly
sticks?
Yeah, sort of. I don't know. Ask Dale Arnold. I really don't know.
Rhymes with sticks.
Ask Dale Arnold.
Nicks?
Well, golly diddly doodly.
Dicks.
Absolutely.
All right.
Supposed to play the clip
so,
Dick Stadium.
That's
John,
just vulgar.
Take it from here. Andy, it's 2:15. I think we've done enough.
Enough damage? No,
that's
come
enough
on.
For the 18th.
No, I like it. This
day.
Is good.
I love dicks as well.
Thanks, Julian.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.